Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. I am Michael Petro. Hello, listener. Take that thing out of your mouth, Charles, and say hello.
Hello. We're all nice and lightly toasted.
We are. It's a lovely Friday evening here in the studio.
It's wildfire smoke. Brought to you by Wendy's French Toast Sticks.
Okay.
Get yourself a breakfast.
First of all, totally fine if Wendy's wanted to sponsor the show with those, but has anybody tried them? Has anybody tried breakfast at Wendy's?
So they sponsored Big Brother Canada this year, and it made me never want to have it ever again.
It's disgusting.
I've read so much controversy about this.
I'm sure the breakfast is fine. It's just, do you as a human person want to be at Wendy's at 9 a.m.?
Like, look, I love Wendy's, but I have to agree, like, I've never been one that's like, I wish they would do breakfast. And when they started doing it, I was like,
Wendy's is like your like side piece, your late night. Nobody wants your booty.
The burgers
call.
Are like, great. They're square.
They're good.
If I have the choice of Wendy, like if there's a Wendy's that is open, I will pick it over A&W. I will pick it over McDonald's. I'll pick it over whatever.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I love Wendy's.
I pass one every day on the way home.
And Wendy's is the only one that actually still has a value like meal side.
That's true. Like, you can get like four things for seven, $8.
Yeah. Right? Like sometimes
two JBCs
I'm a stoner.
For $5.
Yeah. I get four Frosties.
Sometimes I'm just really fucking high and I'd like some treats for under $10 and not necessarily a drink and a combo. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't need French toast sticks from you, Wendy. I don't need that.
Or the fact they let you do that still is fantastic.
We can't talk about this without talking about starting your day off with a mini
Baconator.
Yeah.
Well, how does one bacon? It's just a bacon sandwich, right? Yeah. Like that's a breakfast thing, apparently.
Yeah,
it is. But the amount of bacon
it's
to start your day
for
off
a person.
You know what
I
will say is a kryptonite for me in terms of breakfast, like the Tim Hortons farmer's wrap.
Really?
Oh,
that's a kryptonite.
It's the sauce.
It's
all about the sauce.
It's easy.
And it has all the things you need of breakfast.
That's road
a
trip.
Really
food.
Nice wrap.
Eggs, hash brown.
Yeah.
You start your road trip right at 5
a.m.
And
the way that they even
there.
Have it, you're totally like you like the way that you even take it apart.
You're eating
it's
it in the car.
Yeah.
You rip it off.
Yeah, man.
Take the little top
off.
It's meant to be behind the combine.
While you're unplugging the combine, you're putting down a farmer sausage. Anyways, hello, listener. We love Wendy's. Jimmy's also here as well. Say hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
We have our follow-up from last month's debate. Last month, if you remember, listener, we did the best mom. The best mom on screen for Mother's Day. Anyways, it's the best on-screen dad debate is what I'm trying to get out of my mouth here for the listener. So that's what's on the show. We're going to do another bracket for you. We got 16 dads. Martin has submitted his four. He's on his way. He's probably already landed.
He's on vacay in the Philippines right now.
His
life isn't one big vacation out in Vancouver.
Right? Jimmy to Vancouver, vacay weather for the rest of your life. So he's got his four in. So when they show up, one of us will be taking a proxy for Martin. And then we heard last time that some of us didn't argue well enough or pay enough attention to our audience picks. So at the end of this, we've got a collection of audience picks. We've taken two of them, and two of us are going to pick one each, and then one of us is going to judge, and we're going to have a whole spotlight on the audience picks so that we don't forget you.
We want to encourage fan engagement.
We do. Yeah. This is us, low-hanging fruit for you. So if you want to have a whole part of the show where we mention your name and what you picked, this is where you do it. And you leave it on.
That's right.
The Real Debaters voicemail line is the best place to do that, which is at the link in our bio on all our social media. Jimmy, you got anything coming up that needs to be announced before we get into the whole rigmarole?
Yucks. July 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Definitely that one.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's the big one. Yeah.
We're going to do a little weekend. I'm doing a little split middle, and we're going to hope it goes well.
Dude, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Who's on top for a split middle?
I don't know. They switch.
They split.
Thursday should be fun, though.
If I'm not working, we'll be there, man. That's awesome.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll be there for
summer
sure.
Shows can always be tough.
Yeah,
it always makes
me
worried.
If you're not at the cabin, come see Yuck Yucks. Come see Jimmy. Come see some comedy.
I can't remember who. I think it's Bobby Knopf in July. Coming up on the Thursday is J.J. Whitehead.
Okay.
Good shows.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, definitely. Follow this kid around. And you can follow the comedy. You can follow the stuff that Laughs at Gaffs. Link in a bio. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just click on the link. It brings up everybody's shit. And then you can be like, I like Jimmy's comedy. I think he's a funny motherfucker.
That'd be great.
I'll follow Laughs at Gaffs. And you can also see Charles's Nerdgasm page there as well, too, on YouTube. You got a thing out now? Your crazy reaction to Spider-Man.
Yeah, I have.
The Spider-Verse is pretty... It's pretty on point.
Yeah. So, the Latest video I have is the review of Guardians, which
and
was
you're
fun.
Also playing. And then I'm Spider-Man right now.
I'm replaying the Spider-Man games because I'm fucking so hyped for Spider-Man too.
And they're so fun.
Venom, I hear, is the big deal.
Yeah, man, and the fact that they made a big announcement and they said that Eddie Brock is not Venom in this universe. But
so who could it be?
Topher Grace.
I think they're bringing him back. I think it's gonna be Kraven. I really think it could be Kraven that wears the symbiote, and then he becomes a Venom. Because
like
why
Kraven
not?
The Hunter?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to be James Franco.
That's Kraven the Hunter.
Seth Rogen is my call, guys. As a newbie.
I hope when he becomes Venom and he opens his mouth, it's, I'm going to kill you.
I'm not just in Bad Neighbors. I'm everywhere.
But yeah, because Kraven the Hunter is the main bad villain,
right?
And they revealed that.
The antagonist.
But they've also did a really good job of showing the symbiote on Spider-Man and
the
how
gameplay
incredible.
Looks great.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like,
your gameplay of like I
it's chills. Like it's fucking wild.
I'm the PS4 person in the room, listener. Everybody else is a PS5, so they'll have to back download their games so I can play with them. So watching you play is very fun because I'm like, I could get that Spider-Man, but your Spider-Man's way fucking better.
Yeah, no, and it's fun. So that clip that you saw, that was I did a video, like, there was that hot minute when Tom Holland was out of the MCU because the contract. I remember they let, like, 4 weeks go by where, and then they were like, we negotiated a new deal. So that was my clip that I used where, because it's Leo going, I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah.
And it was just perfect.
My
but, yeah,
fucking firm. I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah. And that was what, yeah. So that was my quick reaction to Across.
Where can everybody
oh,
find
but anyways,
all these.
Yeah. So youtube.com/CFBomb. That's a YouTube channel. You can see all episodes of the Nerdgasm. On Instagram, it's the.nerdgasmshow. I have stuff that's exclusive to Instagram. I have stuff that's exclusive to YouTube. So
you got to follow both.
Yeah, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it to go and follow both.
And then us, we just announced today, Movies in the Park at Ass Park, Assiniboine Park, Ass Park for the locals. Look for the big table with the big Real Debaters banner this summer. We will be at, and the only way you can know about this is if you follow us on social media, we will be at Select Movies in the Park. We're going to hang out all night long. We're going to watch both movies, but we're only going to record for one this year.
Yeah.
Because double features is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. And that's a lot of recording.
It is. It's a lot of talking. It's a lot of gabbing. Yeah. So, but we're going to be there. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to come for dinner, have some drinks in the little bar there.
It'll be nice.
It'll be nice. So follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram, the Real Debaters Podcast
on
Facebook.
We would love to meet some of you.
We would. There'll be a fourth mic. If there's
I'm going to be able to come this year. I'm
exactly.
So excited.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Shauna's mom's going to come back. Zoe's going to come.
My parents will definitely come.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, we need a camp.
Totally.
We need to show people that we're a big deal.
Yeah.
Instead of just three loners.
Yeah.
You know, talking to them.
Also, it's fun because, like, these are movies that have been out a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
E.T. is the opening.
There's quite a few new
well,
ones,
okay,
too,
so
they're doing.
The end of the summer, if you want to, like, here's E.T.'s going to be there.
It's a little bit of both.
Turning great. Red's going to be there. Soul's going to be there.
Oh, great picks.
Super Mario Brothers is going to be there.
Good one.
Guardians 3 is going to
be
there.
Oh,
Guardians 3
great.
To end it.
That's
and,
great.
And there's
great.
Super Mario, Guardians, and Quantumania.
Oh, man. These are good ones to do commentary
I think
on,
I'm going
to
wait to see Guardians until we go.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I think I'm going to
okay.
save it so I
so
can watch it
So you
want to
have
fresh.
Tears live. I love it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did go see that. I was
it's
like,
so
what did
good.
I watch this week? Oh, yeah, Guardians.
I'll save it.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. I'll save it, too, so we can
It is worth the wait, my friend.
Then.
That's
oh,
great.
It's so fucking
What great. A way to experience it for the first time.
Yeah. So cool. if you want to
With
come
us.
Yeah. And we'll have a mic. If you've got the balls on you and you want to come over and be like, this is what I think about Super Mario Brothers.
You got some big hanging nutters.
If you just want to come over, listen, I'm telling you right now, if you listen to the show and you come over to us and you want to sing Peaches, 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 you can do it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, take up all the fucking recording time in the world. We got a lot of AA batteries.
Like, that's right.
It's fine. So anyways, that's our big announcement. Come see us all of August. We'll have at least two or three nights throughout the month there at Real Debaters Pod, Instagram and Twitter. And all the spelling is R-E-E-L, and then the Real Debaters Podcast. As well, if you want to see our ugly mugs, go to our Real Debaters Podcast YouTube page, RD Podcast Shorts.
Yeah.
That's where you get to see clips of the show for you fine folks who love your content short and sweet and snappy.
And coming soon, our OnlyFans.
No. Yeah. Who's coming first, though?
Martin.
Martin. I really, you know
that's
what?
That's where you can see Martin. What is it? Martin in the tub?
Yeah.
That'll be.
But here's what I want to do. He's away. And I've fucked with places where he's lived before by rearranging shit.
So we need to pay someone to go into his apartment.
And put a GoPro above the tub so that we get some actual footage. You don't want to do this
that,
to him?
Man.
No? Come on. I don't have to watch it. We just
have
to rip
it. I saw a movie
it.
Where they did that, and it was not good.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's illegal, Michael.
Was it called Girls Gone Wild, Charles?
No, because they knew.
Here's a camera, do stuff.
Know. Fuck. And then Job seemed to confirm that they do know what they're doing. So,
anyways, with that being said, let's step off this mortal coil, stop self-promoting, and
what did you watch this week, Michael?
Ooh, okay, we'll start over here. I have an oldie that I've been rewatching just for editing and hanging out and just background shit. The newest thing I've been watching though was Rob sold me on The Peripheral on Amazon. Zoe,
you have to watch it from the side of your face.
Only out of the sides of your eyes.
Is that Chloe Grace Moretz?
Is yes,
that
it is.
Like Moretz? Kick Girl?
Moretz? Chloe Moretz? Grace Moretz, I think.
I like Moretz.
Oh, Moretz? I don't know. Kick Girl, right?
Yes,
Hit Girl?
Yes.
Hit Girl?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cool. She used to be in a lot of things.
She's awesome.
Jonah Nolan and what's her face from Westworld producing this show.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's it replaced my loss of robots and cybernetics. Anyways, the
you do love your robots.
I do. I love my dystopian futures with robots.
It's his favorite.
Quick and short on the plot, it's the future, and these guys are video game testers. It's a brother and a sister.
What?
And they get a new headset, and they find out that the headset, it takes you in another virtual world, and you're Whoa. Like, "Oh, I'm taking over a body." Like you sleeve into this thing, but then you find out that it's 70 years in the future when you put the headset on. It's actual
reality of the future.
Of the future. So the only time you can be 70 years in the future is when you have the headset on.
Whoa!
And then she goes in by accident. Someone sees her, and then she comes back to her real life, and now they want to kill her because in the future,
like Looper,
very, very Looper.
I love Looper too.
Or it's like Looper combined with Surrogates. It's both like Bruce Willis films.
I love Surrogates.
Whoa,
me too. Yeah.
Whoa.
But then it's also got a little bit of like Altered Carbon because you're taking over a new version of yourself,
a new vessel,
and it
thing,
goes on autopilot when you're not in it. So like it just responds to AI, so it's constantly going. But then when you sleeve into it, you're like, "Hello, I'm here now." And you take over the AI program.
It's like a video game, like a legit
It's a legit video game. So it's taking that it's a little bit of Blade Runner too, right?
Tron,
like everything video game, dystopian future, robots, all of it's in there. And
it's up your alley, I think.
It's got such a
How's the performances? Good.
Very good.
Right on.
Very good. And you jump right into the action. Like within two episodes, you find out the basic plot, you find out that she needs to protect herself, her brother's trying to save her, and here's the cool thing, it's the future, so soldiers have come out of the war and they've installed haptics inside soldiers now.
Oh.
So they can link up to other systems.
Oh,
so
geez.
When they're invaded at one point by this black team, Black Ops, not Black people, but by this black team, they link up with the drone, and then all of their eyes zone in on
and see
what the drone sees.
Oh, that's so
creepy. So they can shoot.
It's like
seeing the image in their eye and shooting
weird.
In a direction where they can't see the person.
It's like cyborg.
Yeah,
technology.
Very similar. Very
exciting.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's on.
That's my goal as a person. Is
you
want to
become be a cyborg?
To become like an immortal cyborg kind of
wow.
thing.
Wow.
Yeah, someday.
I'm still old school. I just want to be frozen and woken up when
that can be done.
Don't you want Demolition Man?
My therapist gave me the number of a cryogenics lab in Alberta.
Are you serious?
Yes, he did.
Whoa. There's a real
because this is one of my darkest fears.
Is death?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? So you want?
Oh, yeah.
You want immortality?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay.
Especially because I totally get that. Especially given what you do
nothing.
For a living too. You're like
there's nothing.
It's
after.
The black. It's the blackness. Anyway, so that's what that's new that I started watching. But
cool.
It can be done. We can have that future for you.
I hope so. I want that headset. But also I've gone down a old Ryan Murphy road. For all you Nip Tuck fans out there, I've restarted this. This is my third rewatch too. I can almost quote the show.
Yeah.
For a listener, if you've never heard of it, this is an oldie but a goodie. I mean, mid-2000s.
I've never seen this. Can you explain it to me?
It
like
is
I'm
his
an idiot.
Best fucking show still to date.
Really?
It's his big
because he's done
best.
Some good stuff.
Yes,
it is his best show. It makes let's just say it's his first one, and it makes sense why he has this.
This is why
now.
He has.
You
he
put
does.
Me onto a lot of his stuff, so he's, if you say this is good, why not?
Oh, dude, I was addicted to this show.
Basic plot: it's plastic surgery in Miami. Okay. Two very accomplished surgeons are best friends. They've known each other since they were in grad school. One is a womanizing, drinking, fucking machine prick.
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom from Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Like the first
Christian,
one?
Yeah. It's Christian Troy.
Yeah.
Then you have Sean McNamara, the perfect husband, the perfect father.
He believes in being a good doctor and helping people and, like, you know, changing people's lives.
So why
in
are
a
they best
positive
friends?
Way.
Yeah. Because one of them used the other one to get through grad school. And he's been riding
dude, there's so many layers to this onion. There's so many layers.
Anyways,
it's wild.
Each episode is inspired by a insane plastic surgery that's gone on somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
They then turn it up to 11 to incorporate it into the story.
Right.
So, like, the first big one is a drug cartel kingpin wants to look different because he's on the run.
Yeah.
Right? You then find
out.
He's on
the most wanted list.
Yeah.
That's what
but
it is.
But then you find out later, he fucked the boss's girl. So you're like, oh, he fucked his boss's girl.
That's
then you find out the boss's girl is his 9-year-old daughter.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's insane.
That is the tip of the scalpel when it comes to
women wash up on the beach.
Yeah.
With heroin bags inside of them.
Yeah.
And then they find it and the cartel is like, hey, well, you're going to work for us and you're going to do the surgeries to get them out and save these girls. And Sean, the nice hero one, is like, we got to save these girls. And Christian Troy's like, fuck this shit. We're going to die.
Dude.
He's like, fuck these guys. Yeah, it's insane.
What's her name from White Lotus is in it too. She's got like a two-season bit where she
Jennifer
plays
Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, and she's amazing.
What
she's
the
amazing.
Fuck?
She's
okay,
in it.
I gotta
There's
watch
a lot
it.
Of guest stars. Mario Lopez
Mario
plays a
Lopez
huge character.
Rosie O'Donnell's in it.
Yeah.
Who else?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper's
has
in it.
A huge storyline. He has a huge storyline in
they
it.
Moved, at one point, they moved to LA and become doctors on a TV show called Hearts and Scalpels.
Yeah,
and
they're
Cooper,
the consultants. He's Christian Troy.
Yeah.
He's
what
playing Christian
fuck?
Troy in a show about these guys. Yeah.
It's on Prime.
It's so good.
You need to watch it. It's 6 seasons of 20 episodes.
Oh,
okay.
So can I just say, just because one of my favorite things is exactly what Michael said. Every episode, not only is there a main storyline going arc in every season,
the subplot is even more insane.
Right. So there, one of the ones that always sticks in my brain
Please
of just
me,
crazy surgery. Oh, and they show real footage too. By the way, sometimes
Jesus.
Not always, because certain ones it's definitely makeup and you could tell. But there's ones where you're like, that's real.
Yep.
That's a real one. That's a real surgery they're showing right
Sean,
now.
Sean goes to... go on. What were you gonna say? What episode?
So the episode, I don't know what season, I don't know the name of it, but I'll never forget, is this widow. Okay, it's insane. This widow gets her husband cremated. She wants to get breasts enlargements.
But she
wants the ashes in the breast implant so that he's always next to her heart.
Wow.
Always next to her heart. So
that's love.
The one Christian Troy right away is like, yep, because that's so expensive. We can charge the shit of it and she'll pay it. The other one's like, no, like this is unhealthy. Like we got to consult and see if it's sanitary because like this has never been done and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, Christian Troy goes ahead and does it. He just does it without the other one. She's in the recovery room. She wakes up. She has these big old boobies. And he's like, they're in there, blah, blah, blah. So you're watching and you're like, okay, this is kind of nuts. They go back to the office and now there's another woman in the office and she is fucking livid. Turns out the woman they just put the breast implants with the ashes was the mistress and she stole the urn put it in her titties so that the other woman had no chance of getting it. So the real wife is in the office and is basically like, what did you guys just do? They're like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you didn't check any, like, ID, nothing. They're like, Christian Troy's like, but she paid so much money. Because this is when they're in LA and they're doing, like, hard plastic surgery and, like,
shit. They leave Miami because of the drug cartel to then survive in LA.
Yeah.
And then they turn the show up even more. Most recently, there was a couple who were vampires and had real fangs. And they bit each other too hard and had to have their holes fixed. Another one was a wannabe real life Ken and Barbie who wanted her nipples removed to be smooth like Barbie.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And
he almost wanted
he almost
to
went
get
through
castrated.
With it too.
Like
smoothie.
He was going to get castrated cuz it was like he
like
wanted
smoothie.
To he wanted to
now,
replicate the doll exactly.
This is during a time
it's crazy.
This is during a time on TV where like sex was really still very
2006.
2006 to 2010. But if you look at the show from Ryan Murphy's perspective, which you've got to give it more than just, and I'm being punny here, but it's not just skin deep. On the outside, it's very superficial. It's very ego-driven. It's all about plastic surgery and being perfect and beautiful. But at the underneath it all is the insecurities that we go through as humans and wanting to change. So the beauty aspect of it is big for the story, for the drama, but you also get some like little solid, like endearing nuggets between the family where like there are real things that we all suffer. They're just amping it up for the show.
He also explores like trans rights and like LGBT issues in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like they get addressed
way before
lot.
It was A,
yeah,
either popular,
man.
Or B, able.
And
like,
there's a big storyline. Oh, Femke Jensen, the fucking Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Has a huge character storyline.
She had a sex
it.
Change. She ends up being Sean McNamara's his son's therapist. He ends up fuck it. Hang on, Charles. So there's one season in LA where a woman from Christian's past comes to town. And she lost her legs due to diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
And she brings her daughter with her. So she shows up and tells Christian that not only do you not remember me, but you got me pregnant and my daughter's your daughter. So Christian finds out that he's got a daughter and he like buddies up, gets drunk with this woman one night. Anyways, fast forward to Matt, which is not only Sean's son, but also Christian's. Sean raised Matt, but Christian biologically, it's Christian's kid.
Because he fucked his wife.
They were married.
Yeah.
And it's been this big family secret. Like, I'm telling you, soap opera. Anyways.
But it's great.
Matt meets Christian's ex while they're in town and, like, randomly runs into this woman's daughter, not knowing that it's his half-fucking sister, because Christian's also his father. Guess what happens? They hop into bed and fuck like rabbits for a week. Yeah. This show pushes the envelope to the end of the table.
They do a season where Sean and Kimber
everybody's fucked
but
Kimber.
Matt and Kimber, and they're Scientologists.
On meth.
So they're junkie Scientologists. So you know, like, the way they're trying to get money from people is they invite them. They do that stupid Scientology thing where they're like,
"Here's a reading.
Put your hands on these
levels.
Bars.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, look at it go. And people are giving them money to like save them. And then they're buying meth. And then they're in their apartment just being junk.
She's like ripping up the carpet. And he's like, Matt, there's change underneath here. We can buy meth.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can do this all day. The point is that it's a great show.
It's so good.
It's such a good show.
And you guys are going to hell.
It's fucked.
Peripheral, I give Peripheral 8 out of 10 Oculus headsets because it looks pretty similar, right?
Yeah.
And then for NipTuck, I give it like 9 out of 10 butt implants.
We just talked about NipTuck for 15 minutes.
I know. It's fucking.
It's
love it.
Underrated masterpiece in my opinion.
It keeps on giving every time.
It's great.
Will love it.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty.
It's so good.
When Christian fucks around,
it's euphoria before euphoria.
It totally
hated
is.
Euphoria.
Yeah, but it's not in high school, so like
that no, they're adults. Adults.
Anyways,
they're adults.
That's what I watched this week. Jimmy, what'd you watch this week?
Zoe and I have been watching the Insidious movies again.
Oh, nice. You're getting ready for the new one.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about the new one. She's never seen them before, and I had only watched them the one time, like when they came. Like I watched on DVD the first time when people rented.
Oh, way
DVDs.
Back when.
Yeah. We were out at a friend's cabin.
I still remember the cover of the first one.
All the lights off in the cabin, watched it. When his red little face showed up, I shit my pants.
Dude, is it
Jesus
the first
Christ.
One where the red face pops
in the
from
middle of the day?
Oh, that scared
in
me.
The middle of the day, they do that.
Not the scary part of the movie.
It's cruel, but it's Patrick Wilson. It's Rose Byrne. She can do anything.
She can kill it.
Patrick
Wilson. I have a soft, like, I love Patrick Wilson too.
I loved him as Owl.
Both of them.
Yep.
Yeah, he was great.
Right?
He was a great Batman.
Night Owl. Yeah.
Agreed.
Did you say he was a great Batman?
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, Rose Byrne can really do anything. She went X-Men.
She's great.
Did Insidious.
She goes
to horror.
She does a show on Apple too.
She did
too.
Neighbors with fucking Seth Rogen. And now she's with Seth Rogen again. She can really do it all.
Jackie Q.
I was just going to say.
Like, it's just casted so well and it's so scary and I don't. Usually supernatural
they're a husband and wife
horrors,
team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So they move into this house, right? And so you think it's just a haunted house, right? You think it's just a paranormal thing.
Yeah.
But in reality, their son actually can do this thing. It's not the right term, but I want to call it dream walking, where you're not in your body and you could just walk around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wish I could remember the fucking word for it, because they have a word for it. No, because he's not in his body. So his consciousness leaves his body at night when
out
he's
out of body
sleeps.
Experience.
Things like that.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. Closest. Yeah. Sure.
So when he's doing
that's
that,
cool.
He's going to another like dimension after you die. So he the more he does this, it's inviting the spirits of the dead.
Oh, he's opening up the door.
Exactly, to take his body.
Oh.
And he gets trapped outside. Like, he gets trapped and can't get back into his own body.
He's in the upside down!
Yeah, so the movie's
about
trying to get him back.
And they're like people from the 30s, aren't they? They're all like,
yeah, it's fucking weird and gross. And
I need to watch him again. Yeah. I did see the first one, but this is, like, it's obviously left my brain. Because none of that sounds familiar, so I need to. I'm excited.
And Lee Wan L's in it. He plays one of the ghost hunters.
Yes, he does. Yeah, that's the guy who wrote Saw, right?
Yeah.
And he was in the room.
And he was
the
in
photographer.
The yep.
And he's in Cooties.
Yep.
And he wrote Cooties.
Cooties.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, he wrote Cooties too.
Lee Wan L's
the guy
very
who was
good.
In the room in Saw is the guy who wrote it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He co-wrote it with James Wan.
Yep.
Oh, that's
yeah.
They work together on a lot of things.
And Patrick Wilson does The Conjuring because of James Wan.
You know what?
They love. They have a really good. Like
it's
a like a Scorsese.
Well, when you find people you like,
totally.
Why would you go another
also
way?
Also, Saw they made that movie in 15 days on a like a $10,000 budget. I'm pretty sure.
You don't need much when you just got one room.
Insane.
It's like, insane.
Yeah.
So these movies are good, and it turns out there's like fucking five of them.
Yeah.
And there's literally a new one coming out in July.
The Red Door? Or,
So that's the end of the Patrick Wilson Rose Byrne.
Oh,
ones.
This is going to be the concluding. Like,
yes.
I gotcha.
So the new one that we heard is coming out with Kumail and Mandy Moore.
Yep.
Yes. That's a different chapter.
Yeah, that's totally new, but it's still Insidious. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's like
exactly.
The Insidious verse, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is something all studios are doing it right now, right?
We need a verse.
Did you hear Disney said they're going to make they want to make a Lion King verse?
Don't know what that means.
Kill me.
So we watched the first two, and we're getting to the third one.
Yeah.
And personally, pretty scary. Great jump scares. Really enjoying it so far.
And is it the mom? Isn't there like an older lady and she's a key to like something
I want you to watch.
Okay, yeah. I saw it when it first came out like years ago, and
it's
I was
it's
like,
a good twist.
Yeah.
It's a good twist.
There's something.
It,
yeah.
They make the sequel connect to the first one.
Right.
It takes place right after the first movie.
Right, right.
But they do an excellent job.
Cool.
Good
fucking
twist. Good horror.
How many Jackie Q's out of 10 do you get?
Dang, these are solid 7.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the new one's filming in Winnipeg? Is that right?
May or may not be.
Maybe
know a little thing about that. I don't know. Who knows?
Perhaps.
Who knows? There is maybe a James Wan production might be rolling through this town later in the summer.
It's about damn time.
You know, I don't want to say yes or no because then someone can hold me to it. So maybe. Anyways, Charles, we heard something in the chat room. It was a very loud chat. It was the loudest message box I've ever heard. And I believe it said, Spider-Man is so fucking good.
Yeah,
like I heard that message in my head.
So you watched Spider-Man 3 again?
Yeah. How's Toby?
The dancing is out of this world. I realize now. What choreography? You know that he slides on a piano, guys? Anyways,
how is Spider-Man?
Unbelievable, man. It really is. I mean, it's the best way I can say is I. It's worth all the hype. It definitely is. It's unbelievable. Like, it did everything the first one did, just better. It is the Empire Strikes Back to
Damn.
A New Hope.
Oh, that's big praise.
Yeah, like, it 100% is. Like, it's unbelievable. It's really good. It's one of the coolest Spider-Man stories we've seen, and the fact that it's told this way in this style is just so unbelievable.
Maybe you know this. Stop me if you know this, Jimmy, and I'll just quickly do it for a listener. But do you know where Miles Morales' idea came from? Because it's less than 10 years old. Or no, it's about 10 years old now, the comic.
I 2011. Think he's about 2010, 2011. Yeah.
Did you hear this about the Donald Glover thing? Okay, here.
So,
stop me if you...
too old.
No, okay, so whatever. But back then, when he was on Community, he wanted to... So, audition.
Well, he tweeted a picture.
Exactly.
And he wanted to be Spider-Man. That was his childhood dream, is he always wanted to play a live-action Spider-Man.
And toxic fandom assholes are like, how dare you have anybody else but a white Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Even with a fucking mask on. Whatever. Anyways, Community has the episode where he jumps up out of bed
in
Spider-Man pajamas.
Yeah.
That was Community being like, we know you didn't get it, so fuck you guys.
Yeah.
He gets to be Spider-Man here.
Yeah.
A comic book writer whose name eludes me, but it's the guy who invented... Miles Morales' character in Across
Marvel,
the Spider-Verse.
Marvel was getting a lot of shit at this time because Marvel didn't really have a lot of diversity. So a lot of their superheroes are white. The majority of them being marketed were white superheroes, and they were getting a lot of shit, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And the Marvel writing team basically doubled down, and the guy who invented Miles said, well, then fuck it. We're going to do Spider-Man. We're going to do a new version of Spider-Man. Not only is he going to be a young kid again, he's black Latino, because he's half black, half Latino, and he's gay. And that was literally a huge double down they did. And they said, fuck all the toxicity, fuck all the haters and whatnot. And now here we are 13 years later, and Miles is one of the coolest, most fan-favored Spider-Men they've made yet.
Ever.
And that guy, that guy credits Donald Glover tweeting to how he came up with Miles's character.
Yeah, not to get too off track, but Donald Glover does a great bit about that exactly, like wanting to be Spider-Man and all those people telling him that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And all these white people getting so upset, and he's like, white people would tweet at me. They're like, well, what if we made Michael Cera Shaft? And he's like, why would I care about
that? Yeah.
He's go ahead. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Also, I would watch, I'm sure all black people would be so curious to watch Michael Cera play Shaft just as much
as
we were.
He's like, why do they go after Shaft? He's not our Spider-Man.
I love how they also think Donald Glover was Shaft, and he's like, okay? Like, what?
Shut up, okay. Toxic fandom. Anyways, but yeah, so go back to it. Sorry, you were saying.
Oh, no, that's great. So, it, like, honestly, and it's so neat, and not only that is something that's really cool, and it's no, like, this isn't... I'm going to be, like, no spoilers, because this is honestly so good that you need to be treated and spoiled by the movie itself, because it's so good. But just like the first one, they do grow Gwen Stacy's Spider-Gwen story. I would say it's as much a Gwen story as it is a Miles story.
Cool.
Haley Steinfeld rocks my world.
And it's really... Again, it builds on everything from the first one.
Is it still like almost 2 hours? Like, is it a good chunk?
Yeah. Honestly, I can't even remember how
longest
long
animated
it is.
Movie I've ever seen. First one, I mean.
I think it's over 2 hours, but I'll tell you guys, it's
feels like 5 minutes.
It's just one of those movies you don't even remotely care about looking at the time or even thinking about anything else. It's just from the minute the movie starts, really great voice talent again. Like, you have all your OGs from the first, but like Jason Schwartzman is a new voice. He's fantastic. He's so good.
Big fan.
We have
Johnson coming back.
Do we have
as,
Noir? Does Nick Cage come back?
So Noir's back, but something happens and he's at the very
end. Sometimes I light matches and hold them down to my fingers so I can feel something.
He doesn't talk. He doesn't talk. So they like, but what's it called? It's really good. The story's incredible, and it ends on such a wild cliffhanger. It reminds me of, like, similar to Infinity War, where you're in a little bit of shock and, like, what the fuck? And, like, do you guys... For me, a big cliffhanger that fucked with me in the theater that I always remember...
Yeah, give me something that's comparable.
At the end of Matrix Reloaded, where it's Keanu lying on the desk, and then the camera pans over, and it's Agent Smith in Bane's body. And then it's just, like, to be concluded. It's one of those cliffhanger, like, it was just a cliffhanger where it's so from out of nowhere, and it's so brilliant, and then it happens, and you're like, what? And then it's just, like, to be continued, and you're like, what? And then you literally, and then they're so genius, they have these beautiful credit scenes, and you're going to sit there no matter what, because you're like, is that real? And then you're just, like, discussing it out loud. You're like... How does that make sense? Oh, no, it does make sense. Oh, what the fuck?
I'm going to go on Sunday.
It's great. It's honestly great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well, no, it's going to be a midday matinee.
I'm
when we're done this,
that.
We'll look at tickets.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
great.
Fine with that.
Honestly, in watching the theater, it's definitely a theater movie. Yeah. Again, voice talent, unbelievable. It's so good. And it's very clear that they had a plan since. Like, I won't share this at all because there's spoilers, memes popping up. Not memes, but clips from the first one popping up that they're like, the writers are so genius, look at these Easter eggs they planted that reveal what is coming. And I saw it today and I was like, oh my god. And like, how many times have I seen this? And like, son of a
how do they do that?
Great. It's really, honestly, it's so good. The writing team, the creative team, if Sony were to trust the same creative team with their live action shit, oh my god. We could get Venom and Spider-Man. Imagine a world where that common sense happens.
Is that the same world where Amy Pascal no longer exists?
Oh, my God. Like, you know, like, her and Kathleen Kennedy, like, thank you for your service, but, like, bye.
Yeah, you've done a lot for
thank
us.
Thank you, but, like, peace. Like, can we get someone who cares?
Retire.
And really cares about these, like, actual properties?
Can we get just give us a female Dave Filoni. Find
someone
like that.
It's
like,
nothing against them being women in any way. It's just more, like, be fans.
Yeah.
You're not fans.
You're not.
You're just like... hey, we own it, and it should make money. How do we do that? And it's like, ah.
I know.
Right. Then they get involved halfway through. But these movies they didn't touch. You can, like, this is a movie you can see when the creative process does not get fucked with.
I want to say to you that I just want to say this quickly. I just saw it this week. I just watched it for the first time. I talked.
And how much it was great, right? I'm so pumped for you.
I feel like such a loser for waiting 5 years. I feel
you and
like,
your hatred of animation needs to end.
End
it now.
It's for adults, man.
If every animated movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe was made this way,
dude.
Oh my god!
They just put all the Batman animated series and Justice League
cartoon funny you mentioned
on
that.
Netflix.
I've been crushing the Batman
it's
animated
so
series.
So good,
incredible,
like the original one.
Like yeah, and I didn't realize how much it's influenced by Tim Burton's. Yeah. Batman series. Like, Danny Elfman does the music all for it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's, like, futuristic, but it's steampunk.
Set in the 30s, kind of. Yeah. Yeah. The mobsters are all like, meh. Yeah, man.
Like Mr. Potter.
It's great. It's great. Kevin Conroy.
He's
perfect.
How many M&Ms do you give it? How many Miles Morales is that?
How many Miles Morales do I give? Honestly?
Is it a perfect 10?
I gave Into the Universe.
Is it a Bo Derek?
I gave Into the Universe 8. This one is a solid 9.5 for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What's
because
the title?
I know the third
Spider-Man,
one.
This is Spider-Man.
So it was Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, and then.
This one is Across.
Across the Spider-Man.
And we now know next year it is concluding Miles' story with Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
One last thing I have to say. Wildest cameo that nobody will ever expect. It is so good. And once you guys see it, we have to discuss it because it is fucking it's wild. And it pops up and you're like, holy shit. And it happens and you're like, holy shit. And then a bunch of shit happens and then they do one more shout out back to it. And you're like, oh my God, yes. And yeah, it's crazy. But I like you have to see it and then we have a lot to discuss.
I'm so excited.
Shout out to the 14-year-old kid that got hired to do the Lego animated scene.
Dude, incredible. And it's in there and it's. Such
14-year-old
nice
kid, Jimmy, did stop motion.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, so he did the trailer. Yeah. The first trailer that came out, he redid the whole thing in Lego, and it's amazing. And then Phil Lord and Chris Miller were like, this was not in the original script in any way. They contacted the kid. They're like, could you do a sequence where we cut to the Lego verse? And his idea was that. And they do it, and it's great. And it's so perfectly thrown in, and it works so well, and then it's just like, it's great. It's great.
All right.
It's a lot of fan service, which is nice.
So there you go, listener. A perfect unspoiled Across the Spider-Verse.
Just go see it. Let it spoil it for you.
15 minutes of boobs and dick implants, which, Jimmy, you now, like, if you don't watch, I might have words about
I'm
that.
I'm going to be rewatching it right away. Yeah, I'll be messaging you.
I can't wait for you to see. It's just so over the top.
They're showing Across the Spider-Verse at Grant Park from 9:20 a.m. They're showing it 8 times to 10:25
That makes sense.
PM.
Holy shit, that's a money
maker. We can go at 9:20 a.m.
Honestly.
I might take you up on that. That
it's
and breakfast.
Great.
We'll get our breakfast McDonald's.
Exactly.
And boys, it is so. And then if you guys want to go see Transformers at all, you let me know.
Oh, yeah,
I really want
we'll
to
have
that
conversation tonight at Chicken.
Sounds good.
And then you've got the Insidious series to bring back.
I've been enjoying
it. Yeah.
I'm trying to be more topical, like you said. Is that good, Michael?
Are you not entertained?
Is that good enough? Is that good enough for you?
It is.
Love me, Michael.
Well, we want to give listeners something that they can go check out instead of something they have to find at Value Village. Like, we all have our deep cuts.
So I watched a movie from 2013.
Thank you. But as promised, listener, Charles, what time is it?
It's I think it's debate time, baby. Dance.
At my signal, unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein, give me a fat beat to beat my body chest.
I know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work with you.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna fight? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Could you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Yes, listener, this is the part of the show. This is where we masturbate for your listening pleasure. As mentioned, this is a 16-dad tournament. Got that right. And each of us are going to argue against each other. Well, one of us judges. We're going to rotate around the room. If this is your first time.
Dad
then,
rumble.
It's a dad rumble, pretty much. One dad.
You can't start it without me.
This is dad dome.
Dad dome.
Oh
16
God.
Dads enter. Tina Turner sings. Leaves. One dad leaves. May she rest in peace. Those
mad
legs.
Dads.
Mad dads. Anyways, so it's quick, it's snappy, it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing these because they take as little writing as possible because you just pick your favorites. So right off the top, number one and number 16 spot in round one is Red Foreman from The 70s Show, which Charles picked, and Joel from The Last of Us, which Martin picked. We've all seen it. Jimmy, do you want a proxy for him this round, or do you want me to proxy
I'll judge.
For him? You'll judge?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Charles, you haven't been here for a minute. Do you want to have the floor first, or do you want me to have it?
I can take it first if you want.
Feel free, because I need some
He's
time.
Prepared. I thought Kitty should have won our best mom, so I'm excited to see what you do.
Yeah, that's disappointing that she didn't.
I know.
Yeah.
It was garbage.
Close. Okay, so, I mean, Red Foreman, he is... it's a very generational thing, obviously, with the 70s show. I had a hard-ass dad, and now he's, like, my best friend. I totally get it.
Nice.
So I think Red Foreman, like, he loves the shit out of his family. He's a hardworking man. He's the OG dad.
His love language isn't maybe too...
He fought in a war.
He might not hug and kiss, but, yeah, he saved America in a war, and, like, you know, he's raising his family. He lost his job, and he didn't let him lose his house or... The kid's dad, you know, blah, like he's a dad's dad. Again, he's a hard ass for sure, but he loves in other ways. And I mean, he took in a street rat.
That's true.
And
he
took in all of them. And he
they
raised
all
a
need
street rat.
I thought he
go.
Was always just an exchange student.
No, I wasn't talking about Fez.
I know.
America.
Eric.
it's the one we don't talk about, Danny.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But yeah, no, like, you know, and also he's going up against Joel. All I can say is if it was Red getting Ellie across, not only would he have done it in 2 days, he wouldn't have gotten stabbed and he wouldn't have let any dumbass get in his way.
He'd probably be taking his gun apart and putting it back together.
Absolutely.
In like 30
seconds. That's a bold argument. Absolutely. Mike, any counters?
Yeah. Okay. So Joel.
He just gives up. He's like, no, I got nothing.
Like, I don't, it would be funny to just be like, fuck you, Martin, I'm not arguing at all. And just, like, sit on all of his picks and just get him out. But that would be unfair and unkind. So, all right. So, Joel, for me, is only Joel from the show for The Last of Us. But coming to watch this man, he is a protector. He actually has an incredibly selfless side for somebody who doesn't want a kid who is just trading. What is it? A battery pack they're trading for, or like a generator?
Yeah,
piece
battery,
or something.
I think
like
a battery.
He
yeah.
comes into this all curmudgeon-y and all like fuck kids, fuck that shit. I get along with that idea very well.
Very Michael Jordan of you.
Very Michael Jordan. but as we progress throughout the season. And I only have the season, so like, bear with me here, Martin. I know you've got 3 games under your belt, but as we progress through the season, we see him rescue her. We see him get to the point where he lies to her to keep her safe. Like, as someone who's not a dad, but who obviously takes on the adopted dad role, right? Because you don't have to be a real dad to be
a
dad.
He was a dad.
Well, I know, but not her dad is what I'm saying.
Right.
I know. But just seeing, and I mean, to Jimmy's point, that was always there. He did lose his daughter, and he locked it away, and he didn't want anybody to get to that. But he's got this giant heart. He's got this forever protectiveness, and he's willing to die. I mean, I know the new thing is, are you willing to live for your kids and lead a healthy life? But he's willing to take a bullet. And he's gone into battle with, he started with a knife and then found an automatic weapon. And then, like, I mean, he shows up.
You know what? I've made my decision.
Okay. Wow, that's quick. Based on what?
Everything that you said Joel can do.
Yes.
I imagine Red Foreman can also do.
Better.
And, you know, to Red's credit, none of those kids died.
Very.
And he had more kids than just, like, a couple.
How dare you blame Joel for losing his daughter?
You know what? I'm gonna.
All day. All day long.
And for that reason, I'm picking Red Foreman.
See, he's got a vendetta today because he didn't do well. He didn't like how mom went, and he's getting
I didn't like how mom went. I didn't like how best dog went. It should have been The Littlest Hobo. You guys fucked me.
Oh, yeah. The Littlest Hobo was good.
Okay, fair enough.
Red Foreman it is. Let's take him off here.
He would never let any of those kids die.
No.
Even the foreign kid.
Yep.
Panji was right. All. That's one of my favorite lines ever. He's like, hey, if you put oil on there, it won't boil over. And then he doesn't. He's like, wow, look at that. Panji was right. It's fucking ridiculous.
All
right.
So next up on the list here, listener. We're getting good at these. Next up on the list is Frank Costanza from Seinfeld.
That's a great one.
Mr. Ben Stiller's daddy.
What the hell does that mean?
The man's ear. Have you ever heard of it? versus Mick. Is it Mick? Yeah, Mick McGuff, Juno's dad, played by
Mac McGuff. Yeah,
played by Simmons, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah,
J.K. Simmons.
Oh, that's funny.
When you picked that, my heart grew two sizes bigger because I remembered how good of a dad he was. But I don't want to help Charles. So, who's going to argue for Martin on this one? I did. So, I, obviously, Jimmy. Maybe you should take
what? No, I thought I was taking mine.
Oh, you are? Yeah, okay.
Should all I right. just do both?
Well, No.
I would see that.
I did Martin's last, Charles.
You take Martin's.
So I'm
this
arguing
time.
Frank Costanza.
You are.
Okay.
I had to do Joel, and I did research beyond
that's great.
Eight episodes of
oh,
the
Joel. Oh, I love Frank
I'll
Costanza.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Mac McGuff, listen, at a time when it would have been very easy for him to be the angry dad, to hear your daughter is pregnant, to do all the wrong things, he does all the right things. The only time he even voices displeasure is when he says, I'm gonna punch that bleaker kid in the wiener. But he doesn't.
The wiener that Juno loves watching.
That's right, but he doesn't. And he's very supportive of Juno. He helps her find this family, and he takes her to all of her appointments.
Yeah.
He just does all the right things. I don't know.
He even meets Wiener.
He does. Yeah. He accepts him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. He does all the right things. He does all the dad right things. Yeah.
Point, counterpoint, Charles.
And he's a single dad, too.
You're proxying.
I don't think he is.
Isn't he?
No.
Oh.
But you know what?
No,
he
he's
could.
Not a single dad.
He could.
I thought he was like a single
no,
parent.
No, what's her face?
Isn't
who
he
played,
a single parent?
No, what's her face play, who played Margot Robbie's mom and I, Tanya? Is,
if it helps.
Oh, yeah.
If
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney,
yeah,
yes.
Is a stepmom.
Stepmom.
It's her stepmom.
Yeah, new mom.
That's
if
new
it
mom.
Helps
new
my
mom.
Argument, yeah, he's a single dad.
All right.
And he fought in the war.
Charles, point to Jimmy. Counterpoint to Charles, you are arguing
Frank Costanza.
Frank Costanza.
I mean,
it's tough.
Arguably one of the most entertaining dads ever. one of the greatest TV dads. He's actually Ben Stiller's dad in real life as well. So a family
you know?
Of
you can tell
family of comedians. Yeah, you can definitely tell. He's also fuck. Oh, he's so funny on Seinfeld.
Not
he's
easy
easily,
when you haven't studied. Hey,
he's easily one of the funniest side characters. I would say. Also, okay, he loves his son. He just always wants his son to be better, kind of like a Red Foreman. He can see that his son should be reaching better potential, and he's hard on him for it. Also, his son's
also
in,
kind of a jerk, though.
His son is a dumbass. He takes in his son after, I think his son is in his 30s, and he takes him back in, and he lets his son live
That's
with
true.
Him after he loses his
Very
job.
True. He invests in a business with his son.
He invests in a business with his son. He invests in a business with his son's crazy friend, which that's a supportive dad.
What do you know about boobs?
I mean, and he's a man of his word. He sticks to his word when he's serious. Like, you know what I mean?
He really does.
He's crazy, but he knows, like, he will never back down, and he loves his son. Like, when he has to pick up his son, one of my all-time favorite scenes, he has to pick up his son from the police station. Right? And he's going to fucking fight Elaine over Elaine talking shit about his son, bad-mouthing his own son. He's literally going to fight Elaine over it. It's amazing.
Yeah,
he's
got big teeth on that dog.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Do you want to wrestle on Christmas, Michael?
Well, I
Get
was
over here and wrestle your father!
It's close, but because he didn't mention Festivus for the rest of us, I have less of a hard time deciding.
I mean, it's not a Christmas episode.
It can be.
Technicality, Your Honor.
It just depends when we release it.
I object to this bullshit.
It can be.
Seasonal influence on the floor. No, but I love what Jimmy led with, which was all the right things in the wrong moment. Or not even a wrong moment.
Would have been easy to make those wrong choices.
Would have been easy to yell at Juno. Would have been easy to take away her hamburger
phone. But what does
phone.
That solve?
Doesn't do anything.
Nothing.
And like, he even kind of chuckles with the whole blue Slurpee
she
thing.
She didn't want to be pregnant.
Frank would have loved his son if that happened, too. You just would have smacked him a whole bunch.
I'm just,
like,
but I'm watching a lot of Seinfeld because Seinfeld is our wind down show here
yeah,
in the house.
It's so great.
So there's Frank a lot of Mr. Costanza.
Serenity
in
now!
And if I'm looking.
Serenity now!
Are you supposed to yell?
Serenity now.
It's actually a trigger.
no, but I'm just looking at how far the bald man falls from the ginger compared
gotcha.
To Juno and McGuff.
Gotcha.
And they're, George
I
is
really
a,
enjoy JK on Law & Order, too.
JK.
Oh, my God, that's great.
JK is such fucking whiplash. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a performance.
Not quite my tempo.
No. One more. You're dragging.
He's basically, like, you know, I realized, I was like, wow. It's like a Gordon Ramsay for music, basically, is what
Whiplash. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
it's great.
I have to go with McGuff.
Hey.
Scruff yeah. McGruff. Scruff I got McGruff. It.
Yeah.
Chicago,
takes a bite
Illinois,
out of crime.
Six, five. Damn, but Frank was a great contender.
Oh, he was.
You want a piece of me?
Yeah.
You got it!
All right.
I'm back in it. Charles, you're judging. It's Walter White from Breaking Bad, my pick. One of the hardest working dads in the meth industry.
What did I pick?
You picked Howard Langston from Jingle All the Way.
Of course. How could I forget?
Oh,
it is a Christmas episode.
It is.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Who do you want to go first, Charles? You should pick this one.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, let's go with Walter first.
You want to go with Walt White? Okay.
This is a gimme.
Will not die. He does not let cancer get in the way of supporting his family. That man.
I guess.
I mean, okay.
It is not about his family.
It is for me. It is for about.
He says that.
At the end.
That's what we have to work with, Michael.
But we have like two seasons of him not as Heisenberg. We have two seasons of him trying to figure out how to keep his family together, how to leave enough behind, even when he could be scared and be comforted by his family and taken it. Because Hank and his wife and what's her face? What's Walt's wife?
Skyler,
thank you.
Oh, yeah.
With the new baby on the way. Like, there's so many things, and the man is unwavering in his commitment to
his
family.
They could have done a Kickstarter, Michael. They didn't even try to do a GoFundMe.
That's not good
television. Actually, the son did do that, and they were making money,
they
remember?
Did, yeah.
And it was working.
Every time it dings, there's more money. That's right.
And they're making money.
He's an incredibly caring father.
They all hate him.
With Walt Jr. No, the relationship he
Walt
has with
Jr.
Walt
Jr. hates him.
You are talking about season 6. Leave it out of the fucking conversation.
So we're trying to focus on season 1 and 2.
You
want me to focus on Anakin without Darth Vader?
Listen,
okay.
Guys, we all know if I get past round 1, you got a lot more shit against me. So just let me try.
The dog's dead, Michael.
The same Walter that looked at his neighbor and went, hello, and she almost died on the driveway.
He's trying to teach his family while dying how to live without him.
Do meth.
He is trying to make sure. Not yet, man. Jesus. Fuck. We don't even have meth yet. We have him trying to figure out how to still be a chemistry teacher.
So Howard Langston.
Yeah, I think I've had my time.
Listen.
Never say quit. Walt White.
Howard, the actual workaholic, doing it the legal way, Michael. Howard Langston works maybe a little bit too hard. And yeah, does he forget to get his son the toy? Yeah. Does his son ever really find out that? No.
Neither does Walt White with the meth until season
Junior
fucking 6.
Finds out.
There's no meth, though, Junior, Turbo Man.
Junior finds out in Ozymandias. I watched the last 3 episodes this week to get like back into the groove of it.
I know
when it happens.
Speaking of Darth Vader when he was Anakin, that's the son also.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, not
that's
even
so
in the
true.
Same
so,
universe.
So...
You're looking at intergalactic
my
like, Holocaust versus meth dealers. They're not the same.
My point is, if Howard would have been Anakin's father, none of this would have happened because he would have gotten the Turbo doll.
Turbo Man doll.
I'm
not a pervert.
He gets the actual Turbo Man at home.
Got
with
the
a
doll.
Fucking jetpack.
That's right.
Walter White doesn't have a jetpack.
No, he's got $80 million.
What kind of but he can't buy a jetpack?
Buried in the desert. You can buy 100 jetpacks.
But he doesn't. That
with
shows
one barrel.
How bad of a father he is.
And he spent his whole day really trying to get that fucking toy because he loves his kid.
Dude, he got involved with a drug kingpin.
I'll kill Sinbad for you.
To save his... Charles, look at me. Charles, look at me. Don't look at Jimmy. Look at me right now. Okay?
Donald Blitzen.
Walter... Wolf.
Common Cupid, Donald Blitzen.
Get to this lead. Where's my sock? That was a bad one. Look at me right now and just remember Walter from season one and season two. Don't go... Don't... We're not... I said Walt White. I didn't say Heisenberg.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You guys are talking Heisenberg. It's not Heisenberg White. It's not potato potato. Okay?
Walter.
And I'm asking you to vote with integrity.
You've gotten your way twice already. Come on, shake this thing up.
What you seem to forget, Michael, is in the final season, he isn't Heisenberg. He's Walter White. That's why he's making amends.
He comes down from the mountaintop.
He's a fucking mess.
He is. That jacket's hanging off of him. Like, he looks like a fucking French model.
He is definitely like Littlest Hobo vibes.
But we know that we don't like the Littlest Hobo, don't we,
Charles? You know what? I got to save something because I know. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe I need to. I'm going to go for broke. So, like, coming down from the mountain through the wild wilderness, risking everything again, even though he can't, like, really confirm Skyler he's going to be in a safe place if he comes down. Like,
the most unselfish thing he does is tell her the truth that he did it for himself.
That's right.
That is true.
And he comes back into their lives when they've forgotten about him and gotten over him.
Unselfish in season six.
I mean, yeah, I guess something. He's definitely still selfish trying to save Jesse to redeem himself. But
that's all that was for.
Listen, we're not talking about Jesse. We're talking about Walter White.
We're talking about Walter.
We're not talking about the lives Walter White.
Got to get him out of round one. Okay, we're done. We're done. Correct. Charles, what do you think?
I have to be honest with you.
Don't go to the chopper.
Walter was unfortunately dead the minute that Arnold was in the mix. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say Arnold. I'm supposed to say Howard, but it's Arnold Christmas. Yeah, I have
Let's go.
Howard. I'm sorry. Put that cookie down now.
Phil Hartman, R.I.P.
Oh,
I'm
just gonna click on it for these cookies.
Get that out of there.
He's just the dad trying to bang all the moms.
Okay.
Love it.
Right. And he does.
He does.
He just can't get the one.
Yeah. Jimmy.
I want
judging.
Tom Hanks' wife.
You get to pick. Excuse me, listeners. Sorry. A little burpy burp there. We've got an uncle.
We actually have a couple uncles on the list.
So we have an uncle as a father figure. We have Ben Parker.
Yeah.
From Ben Parker in general. Whoever plays him doesn't fucking matter. But Ben Parker, the character in the films from Spider-Man, Amazing Adventures of. And we have Daniel Hillard.
From Mrs. Doubtmichael?
No, I just couldn't fit it all in.
I would watch
doubt
Mrs. Doubtmichael.
Don't you doubt me. No, Daniel Hillard from Mrs. Doubtfire.
I want Michael to go first.
You want me to go first? Okay.
I'm keeping you on a tight leash here.
Yeah, I can tell. I think you want me out in the first round. Just keep score in the corner, you.
This is a great bracket right now.
It is. It's a horse race still. Okay, Daniel Hillard. Let's start there. Fun. Charismatic. The dad you've seen those kids. They were heartbroken when the divorce went through. Like, this is an already loved dad who's trying to be the best dad he can with nothing. No real job, right? What was he, like a janitor on that set when he was kind of found it? Like, he was adjacent to the industry, but he wasn't really in it.
He was shipping.
Yeah. Yeah,
He was taping and then he was shipping or whatever it was. Yeah. Those tapes.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you've got a dad that is such a joy to his kids. He hasn't done anything wrong but been a bad husband. He's not a bad dad.
Right?
He's just been a bad husband and who has
that's
a
but that's like
it was another bad day.
Guys, don't season six me again. Like that's
it's fair.
It's a fucking hashtag.
We're only
of the show.
Talking about the start of Mrs. Doubtfire.
We're talking about the first act, guys. Okay, no, but
we're
like
his goddamn kids too.
Everything he, guys, I appreciate that. And Sally Field, such a smoke show.
Oh yeah.
But
wait, my begolias.
Just the lengths that one man is willing to go to. I won't even get into what he does in the costume yet, but just the lengths that that man goes to put on an outfit, to change his personality, to be a slimier version than his wife already thinks he is in the name of his children.
It's almost like
I'm
going to
leave
it there. Wouldn't it have just been easier to be a better husband?
Totally, but we don't have a movie then. We need conflict.
Maybe the kids ruin that, and then he realizes, God, I love these kids now, damn
it. Then you have a fucking Hallmark movie that's an hour long.
I made him a drunk somehow in the beginning. Damn it, I love these
I
kids.
Hear your
make
points.
Me a woman, I guess.
I hear your points, Charles.
Can you make me a woman?
Ooh, hot flashes. Ooh, two lumps for you.
You're for Janaya Doubtfire.
I'm Mrs. Featherbottom.
Do you want one cream or two? Oh, two. There we go, dear.
It's good for the face. Good for the
face. I mean, fuck me.
Yeah.
So while he may not be his biological father, Ben Parker is easily Peter's father.
Very
he's
father
Peter's
figure.
Father figure influence.
He's as he's as much a dad as Clark Kent.
Absolutely, absolutely, and
Father Kent. Sorry,
Ben.
Clark Kent?
Ben was a good provider. Like, he did everything he could. He was hardworking. He cared about Peter. Again, we don't always know the circumstances of why Peter was orphaned, but it seems like him and Aunt May took in Peter immediately without hesitation. And while Ben unfortunately was cut short in Peter's life, he definitely had a huge impact on him and kind of was a major influence on why he became Spider-Man.
No Spider-Man without Ben.
No.
That's true, right? I mean, with great power comes great responsibility.
You're using that this early. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, wow. You know, Ben, and even, like, their last interaction wasn't the best, but Ben was still just showing unconditional love for him.
Yeah.
Right? And
say no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you don't need much. I don't like, no, dance, monkey.
The one thing I will say, just because, my God, how can you not be a Mrs. Doubtfire fan, is that Ben did die, and Mrs. Doubtfire didn't, and stayed in their lives, so.
So Jimmy.
And she was willing to dress up, or he was willing to go to the lengths of becoming a completely different person to stay in their lives, whereas Ben just died.
He just took a bullet like a bitch.
Probably should have just gave him the keys.
He did make Spider-Man, but he died.
Fucking
but he made
old Spider-Man.
Just give him the keys, and then that doesn't happen.
It's
old,
true. I don't know why he didn't. Man. He just died. But
tell me why you're robbing me.
I'm made of sand.
He did say that.
Tell them I'm Sandman, but you're going to die, I guess. Yeah.
Tell them the man in black sent you.
What's the consensus?
He is still alive. Let's go, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Finally.
That is fair.
Points on the board.
That was tough, man. Like, I mean,
You're lucky it's not a husband contest. It's a father contest.
Well, and I also, hey, Martin, this one's for you because he wanted Mrs. Doubtfire as a mom. And I was like, she's a nanny. You have to pick Sally Field if you want mom, right? Which would have not
I almost
well.
Picked Mrs. Featherbottom, which is Tobias in Arrested Development.
I like that they just let him do it.
Like a guy dressed up as a mom? Is that still a mom? Does that stay?
Very clearly Tobias.
Oh, my God, I'm up again.
Holy I will shit. Say my favorite line to Sally Field as the husband is when she comes in with this, like, blue shawl, and he's like, oh, Miranda, that's very Dances of Wolves with you.
Yeah.
And he's roasting her in front of the kids like that. Oh, fuck.
So, wow.
Next rounds are already set for the quarters for the first stop.
Holy shit. Here we go, hey?
Yeah, so I'm up again, and it's me, and
it's Jimmy, and I'll speak into the microphone. So I have to take Jim Hopper from Stranger Things.
Oh, good one.
And I have to go up against Waylon Wong from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh,
Charles.
Good one, too.
Short round. I got to fight Short round. I got to beat up Short round here.
Yeah.
Fuck, you cheat. You cheat, Jimmy. You cheat.
Damn.
Who do you pick? Who's going first?
Let's go Short round.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I mean, did you watch the movie?
I did.
Did you cry?
Kinda. I'm not going to give you anything.
What a beautiful man. What a perfect man. Like, people say the perfect man doesn't exist, but it's Wayland.
In an alternate reality where he's not really actually himself.
In all realities, he is perfect to her. He is a great father. He runs this business with her. He's just happy to be doing that with her.
That's right.
Can't think of someone better. I can't think of a perfect example of a father without thinking of Wayland.
Damn.
Jimmy likes...
In every dimension.
I know. I know. You're not wrong. But you're also not right.
Oh, yeah?
Jim Hopper doesn't need to, like...
Go back to the gulag.
Jim Hopper doesn't need to chew chapstick to have superpowers.
You just watched this season, Mike.
That's why he's on my mind. Okay, Hopper is just Hopper. Now, Hopper is not a father. Hopper finds Eleven. Hopper finds the science project, essentially, right? Which, again, like Joel, has to find his daddy bone. That's a weird way to say that. Mm-hmm. He has to find daddy's got to find his groove, right?
That's better.
That's better?
Yeah.
I don't want to cut that.
I like the sequel. I like the sequel, Daddy Gets His Groove Back.
Yeah, there it is.
I think that's
right?
The name of the episode, or just Daddy Bone.
Yeah, Daddy Bone. But what we have in Hopper is, again, we have a strong, silent type who lets his guard down, incredibly empathetic, incredibly sweet, incredibly caring, willing, like the scene where he's like 3 inches 11 with the door, and how when they meet up again and she's like, I kept the door open for 3 inches. My heart broke. And to have a girl as skittish and scared as 11 and give her comfort and trust in an environment that she can rely on and egos and every, like, all these things that came unnatural to him. So as much as he is the drug addict and the drinker and the town sheriff who everybody hates, and Mike's like, you're a fucking asshole, he wins everybody over in the end by losing 70 pounds by intermittent fasting, by the way. And that's out of reality.
That's not why he's a good father.
No, that's just
I did it for them to live longer.
That's the David Blaine in him, the fucking extremist.
I like to think there's a little David Blaine in all of us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where do you hide your cards?
My ass.
But I'm just saying, all of these things were in Hopper the whole time. 11 just had to help them out. And when they come out in dump trucks. Like, they don't,
ew.
It's not little spurts. It's like he comes.
Stop it.
He's just
coming dump
just
shouldn't be in the same sentence.
So.
Daddy Bone coming dump?
Yeah. What's wrong?
Where am I going?
You.
I'm talking about a man and a 12 year old. Like,
pick
this
me
come
for
and
all
dump
that
went
that
in
is
the same sentence way too much there.
Never.
Okay.
Anyways,
I have to say, these are both great picks.
These,
I'm really happy you're rewatching Stranger.
I finished it.
That's so good.
I'm so happy.
It's fantastic.
It just had to sit for a while. I was always coming back.
To dad off.
So they're both very great picks. Fuck.
Hopper.
They're both really good.
Hopper, he sounds like he should be a rabbit.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm going to go with Weyland Wong.
Hey!
What the fuck? Seriously?
He had every dimension, man. He has all these dimensions. He loves her unconditionally in multiple dimensions.
Hopper had to learn.
Also, yes, Hopper, but he is fucked up at the end where they left it off. He is so fucked up that I'm like,
he's not gonna be a dad.
I don't know how he's just so fucked up right now. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
think he's gonna love seeing 11, don't get me wrong, it's gonna bring life back for sure, but he is a fucking mess right now.
Yeah,
and so is she.
Where are you, are you finished it, right?
I finished it. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
it's great. That last shot is just unbelievable.
Oh, the reading of the letter too, like,
and just the whole town is on fire.
Yeah.
It's literally on fire, and it's like, oh.
And I'm like, side note for a second, I love how the upside down is now in the right side up.
Yes.
Because that's how me and Shauna refer
to
it.
And Robert Englund being the fucking Vecna's dad was so awesome. That was a nice little cherry.
I was like,
that was
Shauna,
great.
That's Freddy, by the way.
Yeah.
She's like, really? I'm like, that's
especially
Robert
when he starts
Englund
yelling at the end of that one episode.
Which,
like,
by the way,
yeah.
Robert, we know you have COVID right now because he had to bow out of Monster Palooza.
Oh.
So he'll up.
Shit.
But yeah, he's fine. He just has COVID.
Good.
He can't go.
Get better, legend.
Yeah, man, he's the best. And he's what, like in his 70s, I think?
Yeah.
Hey, put it on mine. I saw that, you little fucker. Look what you've done. You've ruined it. There we go. That's better.
That was a tough bracket. The Mrs. Doubtfire one and this
Wayland
Long one, those were tough brackets, man.
I get to.
Those are good picks.
I get to. Well, actually, hang on. No, we have to proxy for Martin now. So back up, seed 11, seed 6, we've got Dick Solomon, which for some of you who may or may not have seen this lovely television show, Third Rock from the Sun.
That is correct.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's a good
it's
pick.
Actually the same creators of the 70s show.
Really?
So, yeah, same
Bonnie
showrunner.
And Terry Turner.
Oh,
that's right. Same showrunner, same creators.
Chuck Lorre?
Nope.
No, Bonnie and Terry Turner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Chuck Lorre runs. He's the head.
I don't think he had anything to do with them.
The Big Bang?
He
has nothing to do with these shows.
No, this show, yeah. But didn't he produce The Big Bang?
Why are we talking about The Big Bang?
I don't know. Yeah. Because he brought it up. Because
nobody brought up The Big Bang
Third Rock.
Theory.
Oh, Third Rock. Third Rock. They also wrote. Didn't you
that
say?
70s show.
Oh, sorry. I heard.
You heard Big Bang. Yeah.
I'm having a glitch.
No, that
70s
show. They did that 70s show and Third Rock.
Third Rock.
Yes.
Dick Solomon.
Yes.
And Young Sheldon. And Philip Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'll take Uncle Phil.
You want to take Uncle Phil? Okay.
Yeah,
I'll judge this one. Okay.
That's a great pick.
I would like to see Show me your dick, Charles.
Dick does debate. That's what this. That's what his episode would be called if that was.
They were all dick episodes.
Yeah, they
were.
If you fans of
much
fan
ado about
things,
dick.
Every episode is Dick Does or something with Dick in it. It's great.
That's
like,
brilliant.
Yeah,
I remember it well.
Dick goes
I don't
out.
It that well,
Dick
but.
Goes on a date. Yeah, the Dick Conundrum is a great one.
Dick Conundrum.
But yeah, so those like this is a real deep cut one. But yeah, I would say so. They're aliens that are tasked with having the human experience. So they basically go to Earth and they're tasked with doing just research on the human experience. Dick takes on the role of being the dad
yes.
of Tommy, who we all know as
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt. What's funny is in their alien world, Tommy is actually older than Dick. So the fact
that
the fact that Tommy is his younger son, it's a really fun dynamic with it. But it also shows that even though Dick is inexperienced and younger, he takes on the role of dad.
Which is the inexperienced Dick?
And he goes full force into dad mode, and he really tries to be the ultimate human dad, and he puts him in school. He enrolls him at the right like level. He takes his education serious because Tommy does really well, so he actually fast-tracks his education. He's also understanding that Tommy is really hormonal, and they use it as their research, but also like he keeps him intact because Tommy can go really off the
deep end,
off the rails.
He's a horny old man.
Yeah, he's a horny old man, literally.
In a kid's body.
Yeah, in a kid, in a teenager hormonal body. But also Dick, you know, he is a good father. He also loves Mary unconditionally. He's also...
Who played Mary again? What's her name? She's SNL.
Oh,
Lord.
Jane Curtin.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Jane Curtin, yes. And he has Sally, who he takes on as his sister.
Yes.
Harry, who is the wild card. I think he says his uncle, his brother.
Right.
Yeah. So he's also fathering this whole house of his brother, his sister, his son. He's a single parent. There is no mom for Tommy. So
that's right.
He is also raising him on his own with Sally as the mother figure. But
he's going the single dad route.
Yeah, and like again, while it starts off as research, he obviously develops a bond with Tommy. And while it may not be father son the way that it is for
it turns into
like
I don't want to help
a father son relationship with them. And again, it's hilarious because Tommy is an old man.
Point counterpoint, Jimmy.
Uncle Phil is more than just that. He's Father Phil.
Oh, is he a priest? Communion with Father
Phil.
He's
father to his own children while also taking in Will, a troubled youngster from the hard streets of Philadelphia.
Born and raised.
Slaps people.
I'd
vote for you if you disagreed with that.
He keeps bad characters like Jazz away from Will and the family.
One fucking huck at a time.
Exactly.
The Wilhelm scream.
And not to pull out something I used from the mom debate, but...
Dads, it's fine.
He's rich.
Oh, that's right. There was that theme of rich parents being better parents.
So consider that in this, Mike.
Okay.
Do you want to live in an attic with Dick? Or...
We're talking about...
You'll learn to
do
be
you
want to
live
human.
In a mansion... with Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil reminded Will that he didn't need his biological father. He's got a family in Bel Air.
Well, even when
his dad did show up.
When dad did show up looking to just drop in.
Phil was there.
Okay, hang on here. Dick in the attic. Just want to confirm here.
Uh-huh.
Is this Dick the character or do I want some Dick in the attic?
You're going to get a little bit of both.
Yeah. Okay, all right then. So now I'm a big fan of showing up, stepping up to the plate, trying to figure shit out, which is very Dick, right? It's very Dick and Tommy.
Oh, also
because
Dick's
was their job.
Dick's also the high commander, which you should be when you're the father. By the way.
All right. Is that what Claudia calls you?
Just because he's stoned.
The big giant.
I was going to say
the big giant head. Actually, is what I have around the place.
Okay, but I like Dick showing up and not only taking work seriously, but opening up his heart to potentially there being love. Dick isn't rich, though.
He is not.
He is not. And beyond rich, which we all know can get you places, right? We all need a handout, this show specifically. Sponsor, listening to you. We're talking to you right now. remember Phil showing up for the drug episode. I remember Phil showing up to the shooting episode. Mm-hmm. I remember Phil being insulted, called fat, being the brunt of the jokes, being mistreated, and never wavered in how he treated his family.
Always support.
He always, like, he knew he was the brunt of the joke, and it was for us to laugh at, but he was, they never wrote his character. He was a character who never let it get to him. And loved his family despite that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has dick just as much as Dick has dick. Uncle Phil, he's got a lot of kids.
Got a lot of dick.
But, like, that hug scene when he says, come here, son.
Because his dad, well, and it's when,
it's when dad leaves again, and he's like, again. I don't, and Will's like,
he's like, why doesn't
I don't need
he want
this man.
Me?
I'm good. And he's like, why doesn't he want me? And it's that Good Will Hunting moment that fucking wrecks us all. Uncle Phil wins.
And they do the big.
Sorry. Like, I love Dick. I love Third Rock. I watched it so much at the cabin and shit. Like, it was truly such a fucking.
I had
fucking,
all the seasons on DVD.
It was so good. It was such
it's
a good premise.
So good.
Everybody showed up to that fucking show.
And they did, like, they did the funny. They also, what I loved, and it was. They could with Third Rock, which they couldn't with 70s Show, is they did pop culture references so well.
Yeah,
like, the episode
the
that ends with Stomp. Because Stomp was, like, sweeping the nation, so they just do a whole Stomp dance sequence. They move all the furniture, and they just do it, and it's, like, so funny. Nina was, like,
yeah,
because
you can
greatest.
Do the time on the show instead of...
Well, and
that
was,
didn't happen
and
in the 70s.
Researching the human experience. So the human experience, Stomp was
they
a thing.
They have to do these things.
Yeah, right, right.
All right, moving on down the line. Charles, you are back up, and we have Michael Bluth. From Arrested Development, there's always money in the banana stand. And Mando.
I think you've
got to
take Mando.
I'll take Mando. I can handle
it. Let's keep these short and sweet, gentlemen.
Yeah, we are on the clock here. So who do you want to go first?
Mando.
Mando. Bounty hunter. Likes to kill people. All of a sudden finds. Hang on here. I'm going to take this off for a second. No one's ever seen this, but finds.
Yeah, that's awesome, by the way. That's beautiful.
This little fucker
right
here.
The hat doesn't make him a good dad.
No, it doesn't. Beautiful. But I'm just letting everybody know. That we do not have Baby Yoda without Mando. We don't have the heart of Mando breaking and seeing a helpless little Yoda thing and taking it in and protecting it and giving it the knobs off of his joystick in his spaceship. And like there is something so sweet about not seeing a facial expression and only seeing Mando's a protector is a big thing for me. I don't know why. I didn't have a dad in my life a lot growing up. So, like, when I see these characteristics shown on screen, being a protector, being a shield, literally a fucking Mandalorian shield, and just making decisions that all of a sudden, like, you know when you have a kid and your life changes? Like,
none of us know that.
I know. To the listener. Listener, and you guys have
it's
kids.
It's an unconditional love that you can
It
see.
Is. It is.
I don't and have that for anything.
Yeah. I have that with Cookie.
Sure. Yeah. I have that for Benny.
Yeah.
And right now she's horny as fuck, so I get all the attention.
Jesus Christ.
It's just Cartman's cat. That episode of South
Park.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
Cartman's
dealing
cat.
With right now. Is I'm surprised she's not in here. What I'm saying is that there was no choice for Mando, right? It literally was a love at first sight moment.
And he was supposed to kill it.
Yeah. He was hired to kill Baby Yoda, and he didn't. That alone, for everybody out there and for the people at home and the millions around the world, he saved Baby Yoda. He's the best dad ever. We don't get Baby Yoda. We don't get this cute little fucking actual puppet.
That's pretty good.
Right? Like,
that's pretty good. Charles?
Okay. I mean, bottom line, Michael Bluth is probably... He's a product of probably one of the worst influences of a family ever. Like, his family lies, steals from each other. There is a weird way of they display love, but you have Michael, who is a consistent display of a good father figure. He's doing it by himself. He's a single parent.
Jimmy hiding his father in the house. While
he's a single parent. He loves, he does everything he can for George Michael. He does everything he can for George Michael. He tells George Michael that family is the most important thing, and he tries to be the best example for George Michael.
So important that George Michael, doesn't George Michael fall for his cousin?
Don't we all?
I mean, but that's just part of the human experience, you know? Yeah, but he doesn't, but the dad isn't like telling him to do it. It's not like, go for it.
I know, like, but he missed that. Bluth missed that. That's a big miss.
Because I don't think anybody's supposed to think ever that their kid might bang their
cousin
named Maybe.
Mandalorians also probably do incest.
Yeah. They didn't see each other. Who knows what they're doing?
But there's a thing about keeping the bloodline strong.
Oh, my God.
Versus just straight up fucking.
Oh, my God, Cersei. Yeah, at least there's no incest with the Bluths as far as we know. They're just fucking ridiculous.
Hey,
yeah.
Quit assuming Mandalorians fuck each other. Jimmy.
Keeps Baby Yoda alive is a strong argument.
Keeps the banana stand alive.
Until it
keeps
burns.
Keeps George Michael employed.
It burns on his watch, too.
Well,
irresponsible with his brother.
I think Michael thinks about himself before he thinks about George Michael, and he likes to think that he thinks about George Michael, but George Michael always seems to be an afterthought, or he would probably notice that his son wants to fuck his cousin.
I mean, he brought it up once, and then he was like, now you're you're joking with me. That's funny. Because, again, that's horrifying. But okay.
So I'll go with Mando.
Oh, shit.
Okay, that's fair.
Stuff. Martin's winning. I mean, I get to claim the points for it, but Martin is
okay. Last round of opening round, and then we can speed this shit right up. So it's me with Ned Stark versus Brian Mills.
Oh, you're going down
from Taken.
Oh
from
yeah,
Jimmy.
Do we even have to do this?
How
one?
Did this happen? I didn't pay attention. I just flicked it a couple
this
times.
Have you seen that Simpsons where there's a huge brawl at the stadium and everyone's like pairing off to fight with each other, and then Mo gets Dredrick Tatum the boxer, and he's like, "How did this happen?"
Okay,
that's what this is.
This will be the last
that's
one.
Great.
The next round, we'll get 1 point apiece to speed this fucker
up. Or even votes. We can just, like, literally, like,
vote
sudden death.
Yeah. That's what we did last time.
Right?
We got down to the last two, and then we had an open discussion.
Because we're like, yes, nigh.
Yeah, nigh.
Nigh.
Fine.
Nigh.
So, okay, Charles, who do you want up first? I just won the last one, so I'm fine to do it.
I'll go.
Okay.
So, okay,
no, I want a streak.
So,
Jimmy.
Listen, going overseas... Going to a new country is always scary. You don't know what's supposed to happen. They tell you you have to wear a fanny pack, and that's the least cool thing you can do.
Fuck you.
It's practical.
Fanny fuckers.
It's practical.
Fanny fuckers.
I would feel a lot more comfortable going to literally anywhere if I knew that my dad was the kind of man who could track these people down and find them. Kill all of them, and then bring me home.
Just by a phone call.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
And a specific set of rules. Car.
He's not a pirate.
Well, he's an Irish pirate.
And then
your reality, I guess. The same one we're fucking your cousins. Fine.
Oh, George Michael.
Okay. All right. Jimmy.
An actual hero.
An actual hero. I will say it is pretty incredible to be able to threaten someone and make them feel threatened over the phone.
And he does a very good job.
Yeah.
And he finds her.
He does.
Three times.
He does.
With his goddamn times.
With like he
and then he thriggles his wife in there. Isn't his wife die?
But like
cause,
he's
whatever.
Okay. All right. I'll say one thing before I get
She's
into
been
mine.
Neglected three times, but I found her all three times.
He gar, takes gar. Off.
I'm Liam Neeson gar.
He takes off with his buddies to make some money instead of hanging out with his daughter when
had to make that money.
Hey, legally, he was not allowed
to
be with her because the mom is so mean.
Famke Jensen again.
Yeah.
You're just mad because he didn't do a Mrs. Doubt flyer.
I've got a specific set of rules. He's just a woman now.
Oh, okay, hang on.
I'm here to raise this 18-year-old girl.
Oh, if he was Mrs. Doubtfire, I'd have the vote.
Fuck. Fuck your specific set of skills for a second here. All right, so
who'd you pick? Who?
Neddard Eddard Stark. All right.
Oh yeah, everybody loved the finale.
And that's season one. That's fair. It's not season six. Doesn't make it that far. Spoilers. So
everyone loved the finale.
All right. Okay. Not seriously.
Uh-huh.
Not John.
Incest.
The two daughters' names I always screw up: Sansa and Aya. Aya. That's it.
Aria.
That's
and
what
Sansa.
I screwed.
Yeah,
see
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? I just did it.
Aria,
so
Sansa.
Doesn't even
remember when
and then
he,
Rob.
Yeah. Keith.
Rob.
Rob and then
Steve.
What's his face? The bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, John.
Jon Snow. Right.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
All right. So you remember when Aria gets her needle from Jon?
Oh yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then Daddy finds it.
Yes.
Doesn't reprimand her.
Is that like when Marsha gets hit in the face with a football?
Like from the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. No, that
that's not the same thing. Similar? No, okay. That's not the same thing. What? Okay. Well, does she get to play football after?
It definitely is
because my
that is the equivalent of Game of Thrones. That's their football moment.
My point is he encourages it and finds her a teacher.
Yeah, that knows how to properly train her
and
with
teaches
it.
Her to be like water. Right. Yep. He encourages outlandish behavior that of the time it's not ladylike. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not. So you've got a very supportive father, even though he knows in the world of Game of Thrones at King's Landing.
Incest.
He doesn't do it. Incest. Second, incest. Let me jump to season 6 for a minute. We find out that he took Jon and came home and looked horrible in front of Lady Stark.
Yes.
He acted as if he sired that child. Incest. He did not. Jaime and Cersei, not the Starks. Shut up.
The Starks are clean.
The Starks are clean. And then lastly, who doesn't have a head?
Headless Ned.
You know who doesn't have a head? Those Ned. Guys that took Liam Neeson's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But who
Headless
gave
Ned.
Who gave his head? Who knew that if he stuck around, he would be beheaded?
We've been making the argument that if your dad is dead, he can't be a good father.
No, but
we voted the opposite way each time.
He was told to leave otherwise, and he didn't. He stuck around. He's got integrity.
So was Robin Williams.
I know.
But he was betrayed. He did everything they told him to, and they still beheaded him.
I know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is he had integrity to the end.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson would have survived.
He could have ran. He could have taken Arya back to King's back to fucking the North.
That's bad dad. That's not mad dad. That's bad dad.
Headless Nedless. Anyways, that's all I got. Those are my three. Yeah.
I'm a big Sean Bean fan. Who isn't? I loved Ed Stark, but that death, it destroyed me, and it was like the beginning of all the big mind fucks that show was about.
He cared
show.
About those.
Welcome, welcome to the Dead Body Show.
I don't care about anything after Taken One.
Yeah, that's good for me.
Just because Taken
that works in my favor.
No. You went hard on Breaking Bad with me. Go further down the.
Well,
fucking
I'll be
series.
Honest. I haven't even seen Taken Three because
I don't
even understand why
don't
that
worry about
was
it.
A thing.
Worry about it.
Actually, she doesn't get taken in those. They just have a great day.
We're going to keep doing this unless you pick, so fucking pick.
I guess, you know what? I'm going to go with Taken.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, Mike.
Really thought I had you with the head comment.
The head thing was great,
you
man.
You don't want any head?
I always
you
want...
You fucking brought dick here.
Dick and head.
Dick and head. Dick and you
big
too.
Giant head.
You brought dick to the fucking party.
Incoming message from the big giant head.
Now, right. This is where it gets easier, maybe more difficult.
Yeah, all right. So we're back to Charles versus Jimmy. I will judge.
We've got some good dads. It's just generational gaps.
It is.
They're both bald.
They're both bald. They
red.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I think they'd get along at a party.
Oh, they would be best friends at the party.
They would be best
yeah.
friends
we
at
got
the party.
Matchup yeah. of Red Foreman and Mac McGuff.
Do you want to talk this out as a group to speed this up for listeners?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're
Does
right.
Does anyone
too.
Have points that we need to?
Yeah.
This is a hard one, but I mean, again, I not just because it's my pick. I'm Team Red, man.
But you know what?
It's hard not to be.
It's hard not. Like I'm telling you. Like
well,
again,
what Jimmy argued with Kitty was. Also able to be argued here. Kitty took in and was the mom of a lot of kids who didn't have moms. Red, as much as he was a gruffy guy, his love
language.
He never
language, actually does
he,
anything.
You know
he never
is,
does anything.
Is
and his,
Kitty is the love and Red is the reality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, part of growing up.
The backhand and the hug.
Yeah, exactly. Part of growing up is you need those life lessons. You need to know that the world is going to kick you in the ass sometimes. And Red is that reinforcement. And it's a really important thing of, you know, I think that's kind of.
It's the
I'm
reality of the
it's
show.
It's the dad's
yeah, yeah,
job
yeah.
sometimes,
yeah. No,
you know?
I totally,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
I get it. Jimmy?
It's tough because they do take in all those kids. Mac does all the right things, but I don't know if he should just be rewarded now for, I don't know if it's secondhand rewarding for just doing the right things, for doing the things that you're supposed to do. I think we got to go Red Foreman.
Yeah, I think you're right. Red Foreman.
Also, I think when Red does it, he's a more real representation. Like when he decides to take in Hyde, that moment is
well,
so
yeah.
fucking funny. Yeah, and, he has his back to the audience. And he's like, fuck!
That's
fuck!
I can believe that more.
Because you know he can't afford it.
Yeah, and he's so fucking annoyed with the situation, but he also isn't going to let a kid die on his
no,
watch. So
he's eating ketchup on crackers.
Yeah.
I can totally believe that more than the dad that McGuff is because that doesn't exist that much. Most dads would lose their shit, freak out. No, you're not staying here anymore. Go get an abortion.
We're going for the
shit.
Realistic,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
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 yeah. Okay, moving on.
Howard Langston and Daniel Hillard.
This is tough. Two dads who are willing to do anything.
Oh, my God. You got Arnold and Robin going head to head.
You got a
here.
Guy willing to fight in a store to get a fucking
both
toy.
Both costumed yeah. heroes.
Yeah.
Right? You got another guy who's willing to like throw it all on the line and choke out Pierce Brosnan with shrimp in the end of the fucking show.
It was a drive-by fruiting.
And wasn't he just a jerk? Like, couldn't that have killed him?
Yeah, it could have.
Yeah.
It was a big
But he
risk,
saved him, though.
But he did.
But he
yeah.
saved his life.
Yeah.
He basically
you
said, I could end you and... Born you.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. So
how did Matt Damon get involved
well,
in this?
It's a new life. You
oh,
know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Born you.
That would help more if he was going up against Brian Mills.
Yeah, it would. But I mean,
but he
okay.
almost put it, he almost, what, Howard tried to get a rain, or no, he almost stole the Turbo Man
but,
from that.
But if I,
yeah.
If I may, like.
But he stole my cookies.
He was going to fuck his wife. Yeah. Like, I think
yeah.
I think those two things
cookie
counter.
Is basically his wife. Stay on, get away. Drop that cookie
but,
now.
But how good is Howard compared to Daniel when it comes to being a dad already?
I think better dad is probably Daniel.
I agree.
Well, I mean.
If we're talking about father.
Daniel let the divorce happen. I never let divorce happen.
That's true.
But you're supposed to, because then it's in.
It's a better.
You're keeping the woman captive.
These more odds.
I will say yeah. at the end of Jingle All the Way, he does forget their anniversary.
Okay,
but
and Daniel's still
Arnold
in love. Daniel's
also,
still in love with his wife.
Arnold also could have absolutely murdered.
It's two of us versus
Phil Hartman
you.
With his bare hands.
He could have murdered
never
everyone.
Did. And he never once did.
Concede.
Sinbad's actually the crazy one.
Concede.
Okay.
This is a homemade explosive
shit.
Device.
This is so difficult. I love Arnold. I'm always an OG Arnold, but I'm going to go Daniel.
Yeah, I think
Daniel
it's Daniel
Hillard.
Too.
That's integrity. Weyland Wong versus Philip Banks.
Oh, my God. Ooh. Both two dudes who are incredibly in love with their wife. Both two dudes who are willing to do a lot for their families.
Big wife guys.
One of them's rich.
One of them had a baby very late and still loved the shit out of it.
Right? Philip Banks always had the after-school dad that maybe you didn't have growing up. Like, he was a proxy dad for me, even. Like, seeing those moments, I was like, oh, maybe they do exist.
I
like,
think the thing I have to say, though, is the way that Waylon just absolutely loves the shit out of his daughter and accepts her in every
yeah.
way.
Every
and
single
loves,
way.
Loves his daughter. I can't remember the names, but
everything,
loves,
everywhere,
in
all
every
at once.
Universe.
Loves
his,
yeah.
And loves his daughter's partner. And, like, loves her, and it's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, the mom had such a hard time even talking
about it. He just wants
things
to be better.
But he didn't
yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and, it, yeah. I mean, I love Uncle Phil. Who doesn't love Uncle Phil? But I got to go Weyland on that one.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. Brian Mills versus Mando up next.
Damn. Two men who would do anything.
Oh, my God,
right?
That's
we're
hilarious.
Getting some strong matchup.
This is the Taken of Star Wars against just
right?
Taken. Yeah. Like, that's a good fucking one right there. Wow.
Does Brian have Beskar?
I mean, if I'm gonna pick Mando, I'm gonna go Mando.
It I can't.
It's tough. It's really hard. One. I'm gonna go Mando.
Mando.
Just because Taken and Star Wars, I'm like, yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah,
stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if he's you got to go space gun over regular gun.
Really going space cowboy.
We
over
are now
into regular just cowboy.
Yeah, you do. If you have space, you go space.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
How can you?
Semifinals are now on. Red Foreman, '70s show
hey,
from
we
Charles.
Just got one.
Daniel Hillard from me, and then in the other bracket, Weyland versus Mando. We
hey,
each have
these
one
are
of
good.
This is interesting.
Wow.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
All right, Red Foreman versus Daniel Hillard. We have. A big heart versus a grumpy Gus.
Red didn't let his marriage fall apart at any point. Him and Kitty were very much together throughout that whole series.
Yeah.
There was never even a question about
that.
Yeah.
That's very true. And that show, a pretty tumultuous time.
Like,
if you
say,
look at when the 70s were going yes, on, a lot of things
I can
gone
hear
down.
Martin in the back of my head yelling, but what about Lori?
Yeah.
Is
sure.
that still echoing from your
yeah.
other? Yeah.
Sure.
Not
yeah.
everything's a home run.
I think he just cut his losses there. He's like,
yeah.
we'll try again with Eric.
But again, I understand the Lori factor.
Right? That's
it
hard
is,
to get past.
It is a fair
you
factor, but...
You favored a child.
He... Yeah. Sure, favored a child, but he doesn't neglect Eric. He's just an asshole to Eric. But he doesn't neglect Eric. Eric eats.
He's a smart ass.
Eric has
it's
a room.
Love.
Eric gets
Eric
to
has
his,
a room.
Eric gets
Eric
to have
gets
his best
fed.
Friend live with him.
That's true.
Lori's best friend slash
Man of the Night doesn't live there as far as he knows. He doesn't allow it, at
when
least.
He breaks up with Donna, they are immediately like, you need to go fix
that. Yeah, and yeah. Also the Lori factor changes in the episode when he shows up to her new apartment and a man answers. She's
okay.
Living with a man without telling
okay,
him.
Okay, got it,
that's
got
when
it.
That's
Red's, yeah. Red's fucking
that
awesome.
That shit did
yeah.
End.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
I love Daniel Hillard, but man, Red, I like as a father figure, again, consistency and overall, like,
could have
Red
just been
didn't
there.
Have to be a woman because he's just a good father and a good husband, I guess.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm going well, Red.
That's, I agree.
I know when I'm outvoted and I'm outnumbered.
Fine. Red moves on.
Dumbass.
I thought I could take Daniel to
we're making up for the best moms.
I agree we are. Okay, Weyland Wong versus Mando again. Now,
wow.
Do we,
Mando's only a good dad in one universe.
We love our base. Hang on. But we love our fans. We love everybody that listens to the show here. We don't say it enough. But I'm torn because it's Baby Yoda. Like,
I know.
We have global.
You guys
have,
and your Star Wars prejudices.
Hey,
not
man.
Fair.
Listen,
it's
Jimmy.
Not fair.
Jimmy, I come. I show up and I dance with who I brought to the party. Like, I don't.
You didn't
find
even
it.
Bring him. Martin brought him.
No, I know, but I got to act like I did because I'm like, I argued it, right? I've taken.
But Martin brought him for me.
I've carried him this far. So, like, I just. The lengths, like, Mando goes from universe to universe, and his rock is now Yoda. Like, there is an undeniable.
There are literal rocks in everything, everywhere, all at once.
And penis fingers.
They become rocks.
Wiener fingers, right? Not penis fingers?
That's right.
Wiener fingers.
Yeah, but the dildo. The dildo.
Oh, I'll say Waylon doesn't need fancy space equipment. He beats the shit out of him with a fanny pack.
Really, Jack Nicholson.
Fancy space bullshit.
I know how fancy it is.
Have you ever seen a fanny pack fight scene? I haven't.
No. No one has until that
true.
Actually happened. That was the
and he did it.
He did it well.
Yep.
He actually did it. Like, he didn't have a he is the stunt double. So.
Mine goes through hyperspace. Well, he goes through universes.
Your guy's not even the guy in the suit.
Fuck, that's a good point. Just a voice. But for a voice, though, I mean, he brings a lot of fatherly love through that voice. Right? Am I right? No.
Yes.
Is it Weyland?
No. No.
No. No.
Yes.
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 No. No.
Rudimentary. It's binary. It's the times we live in. Is it Weyland?
This is tough, man.
Baby Yoda can take care of himself.
Well, we know he's got the Force powers, but still, he gets into fucking trouble. Like,
you know, he did give Baby Yoda away to Luke, though, for a bit.
That's because
you're never supposed to let your kids go.
But hey, listen, if you love something, let it go. And if it has the Force, it'll come
back. Not when it's that young.
Why couldn't Mando just visit?
Don't you dare say young. Now, he's like probably 275 fucking years old,
right,
based on what we know.
But he has the intellect of a 10-year-old.
I know that.
So do I.
I know that he gave Yoda back to Luke, but couldn't Mando visit?
No, because that interrupts his training. Don't you know anything about fucking training?
So they're just like isolating him?
Well,
yeah,
the old Jedi order.
Is that what being a Jedi is?
The old Jedi was.
That's why you got your Darth Vaders. And
that's
Kylo
a cult.
Ren.
Yeah.
But they're getting rid of that.
I could see why. They,
that's
I
why
could
we
see
need
why
the new order.
Like,
yeah.
The new order.
This is a new
we
order.
Need this new
I'm
order.
I'm just saying I can understand why people got behind the Empire.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying they're completely
hot take.
Wrong.
I mean, I want Mando to win, but when I look at. When I look at what I think a father and a husband, specifically in these climates where like kids aren't accepted for however they identify in the world today, that was a very great point to put into the story. He nails it very well. That whole aspect, like if we're gonna say best on screen dad because of the qualities we admire in a dad, we have to go with Weyland.
Yeah,
because Joel's not even in the suit.
Also, I hate to say it, like as much as I love Mando as the next one, just his way of life. As a Mandalorian, he's
it's
putting that kid in
yeah.
danger.
Yeah, no,
like,
he's
it's
totally,
not the safest lifestyle like, to have a kid.
Totally, he's being somewhat irresponsible. But when
bit.
You see him pull, like when
some
you see
what?
Him, when you see him like hold a fucking bantha,
yeah,
or not a bantha, rancor,
yeah,
when
rancor,
he does the
yeah,
rancor
awesome.
Shit. You're like, kid, you can take care of yourself.
Yeah,
like,
was awesome.
He's letting Baby Yoda have wings.
Yeah,
he's letting him out of the nest. He's
yeah,
him experiment with his powers.
Yeah.
Right?
That's his way of learning how to ride a bike.
It's Weyland. All right, so here's the finale we never thought we'd see.
Oh!
Tough one.
Red Foreman, Weyland Wong, Everything Everywhere All at Once versus The 70s Show, final here on Best Dad Debate for Father's Day Debate.
Two dads who are in very similar situations. Businesses that maybe aren't going the way they want them to, families that aren't the way they want them to.
Divorce papers on the way. Like... He's on the side of the divorce now.
Dealing with neighbors, they're not
necessarily pumped for.
Yeah.
But then what we said about Kitty was taking on a family, letting your wife have this relationship with these kids, sparring with them. Like, when I go to the farm and I get picked on by the entire farm when we go out there, me and Shauna, that's their way of showing love.
Yeah.
If they ignored me,
yeah,
then you know they don't like you.
They know that I don't. They don't like me, because then on the flip side, they're like, come out and make sausage and come out and we'll rip you around. Like,
they want you around.
They want me around to fuck with me.
Right.
But I understand Red's perspective.
It's like, I'm proud of you. You're a dumbass. Yeah. But I'm proud of you.
Yeah. That kind of the backhanded thing, right? Like, I get that. And it's not, I'm not saying I get that from Alan, Judy, and everybody, but like, they're city boy shit, you know, and like,
it's just letting you know, like, I love you, but also keep in the back of your mind, like,
you are a city boy.
Life's tough and you're gonna get
Like, and not, he's not from the era of like, everybody's getting a hug and everything's gonna be okay. Like, he's and
my
and,
old man gave me a gun and said, you're ready to be a man.
Right?
Like,
now, if we extrapolate that into an everyday lifestyle, we're not going to really use the gun. The gun's the metaphor for
like, it's just like, here's a shovel, go to work, that's your purpose now, I love you.
Exactly.
See
Jimmy,
you later.
Thoughts?
I'll say it again, man. Wayland does it in every single universe they go to. Wherever they pick, Wayland is a solid dad and a solid husband.
I still want... What does chapstick taste like, though?
And I'll say it again, Lori.
Red is a great dad and father in the 70s, and he continues to be in the 90s.
Damn.
He's much older.
He's a grandpa
and
now,
he's
though.
Grumpier.
You waited.
But he still has it.
He's a grandpa,
and he
though.
Still lets those kids
I'm
be
not letting
in the
you
basement.
Have that one.
He does it all over
it.
Again.
Well, no, he has Eric and Eric's kids back right in the first episode.
I think you're right.
And one of my favorite moments in 90s show is when Eric is playing, Eric and Donna are playing cards, and he's like, that's right.
You're
upstairs,
upstairs now.
and that's the full circle there. It's a very and he's not as much of a hard ass on Eric because he's like, Eric, you're a man. You did it. Like
they're
now
just
we
drinking.
Can be, now we can be like, you know,
I
friends.
I kind of just want to watch the 90s show for just their relationship.
Their
that's
TV.
Why, you know, that's why. Like,
I think Charles got it. He saved that point to the end, but I think he got it.
I'm like,
is
dimension,
it,
hey,
I'm going
decades,
red.
Here we go.
Is it
red, baby?
Yep, we're going red.
So I can extend this as long as I want and be the 12th juror and hold out? Am I Jack Lemmon in 12 Angry
Martin
Men right
just
now?
Just messaged me and said red. He did. Just says red.
That was a $12 text. Ladies and gentlemen, your father, your best on-screen father for our first annual Father's Day debate is
Red Foreman.
Foreman.
Woo!
Red fucking Foreman. I like that. I can live with that. This was way more fun than
dumbass.
Mine. I don't know why. I think it's because of our picks. Probably 90% are picks.
Lots of solid matchups.
But like lots of fucking.
These were good brackets.
Good daddies.
Man. A lot of good brackets.
And
like,
we had.
Did we miss anybody? Probably. Let us know.
Well, you know what? We do have two fan requests.
Oh, that's right. We got the wild card round.
We can't let that go. We need a fan winner today.
That's right.
So what we're going to do, because there's a lot of them, we figured we'll just take two because we are a small show and we've kept you long enough. One of us is going to judge and two of us are going to do these picks on behalf of those who picked. So we have a part-time cast member pick from Dan Bond, Emily's husband.
Right on.
Gomez Adams.
Oh, great pick.
And then we have the dad whose name eludes me, but Doug Darling picked the dad from Easy A, just like
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci from Easy A.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I didn't write these names down. Who these Gomez, obviously, but I didn't write the name down, Doug, so my bad. Who, Jimmy, you know Easy A. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I'm cool to do Gomez. Do you want to judge or do you want to?
It's up to you, man. Whatever you want to do.
I'll judge this one.
Okay.
I'll judge the first fan one. So you take Gomez.
I'll take Gomez.
Let Jimmy get warmed up here. Bring up on your phone, too, if you need this, because we've
got
to do our fans fucking solid here,
I know my Gomez.
Okay. You know.
Oh, I know my Gomez.
Do you want to kiss up my arm to get
ready?
That
was one. Let me just say, because this is.
Oh, his name is Dill Pendergast.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm glad we're doing this fan thing. Gomez was one I did not think of. And when I
didn't even cross my mind either.
God damn, that's a good pick.
George Bailey, Wonderful Life. We were talking about Wonderful Life before the show. Like, Mr. Potter.
I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Jimmy's had probably the most hot streaks with voting and everything, Charles, you're going to go first.
Okay.
Jimmy's going to go second.
Love it.
And it'll just be a quick one, and then I'll throw my 2 cents in, and then that'll be that. So, Charles, why is Gomez the shit dad?
Gomez Adams, I mean, one of the most iconic dads that we didn't even think of, so thank you for that, by the way. But, I mean... It's still till this day, they're making Adam's Family things. Like, you know, like they're
animated.
We have the Wednesday show, we have the animated ones, and Gomez is the type of character you're excited to hear the casting the same way you are Bond or Spider-Man or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? One of the most iconic families. They're weird. They're crazy. But you have Gomez, who is the absolute
mysterious and kooky.
He is the perfect
Charles. It was altogether
kooky. He's the perfect leader. He's the perfect you know what I mean. He loves his kids unconditionally. He embraces everything that they want to do. He supports everything they want to do. He wants them to do everything. And he loves
everything everywhere all at
once.
He
loves the shit out of them all the time. Like literally, he's the type of dad that like family dinner is super important. They have their meals together. They share what they're doing together.
They chop their heads off.
They're in each other's lives together. Even when he sends them to camp in the second movie, he goes to their fucking play that they're working on.
That's right.
And he loves the shit out of it. He's like, this is the best play I've ever seen in my life. He loves his kids. He's the best. He is.
He really is like a
and
a
he's
fucking
the best dad because you can be, you don't have to worry about, oh, no, I did something or, oh, am I weird to think this? Because he's probably thought the same thing.
Yeah, like if you're like, listen, I'm into voodoo dolls right now, Dad.
Yeah.
Gomez is going to be like, let me bring out my voodoo doll.
Yeah, we should go to the library and I'll show you.
Yeah. Who do you want to voodoo?
Yeah.
Who do you voodoo want to
voodoo? Who do you voodoo?
Okay. All right. I like it. Mr. Pendergast.
Dill Pendergast.
Pendergast.
Father of Olive.
husband of.
It's pretty much the same stuff that I had with Mac McGuff, right? Like he takes the struggles that his daughter is having and not only gives her advice, but gives her advice in a way that's funny, in a way that's relatable. He's also an adopted father. They have an adopted child as well.
Oh.
And
it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, they aren't one of he knows he's adopted. It's a fun little thing they do.
Yeah.
all in all, man, he's a great father and a very good husband. He loves his family very much. He makes it clear to them that if they're gay, that's totally cool. He said that he was even gay once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's gay in college at some point.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Pretty forward, pretty accepting.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is tough.
On movie nights, he makes them watch The Bucket List. Very important. You
yeah,
watch
that's
make
right.
your own
list.
Bucket list.
That's
There's right. a lesson
right.
to be had with
that's
Morgan
right.
Freeman
you can
and
cross
Jack
the
Nicholson.
Bucket list yeah. off your bucket
I
list.
I love that Bucket List is canon in a movie that's not a real life story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like in fairness, Olive is going through not a very fun time at her high school at
and
all.
And dad and daughter
no,
is a tough dynamic.
And then she kind of gets herself into some trouble with the way she handles it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at no point are they judging her.
They never know.
They're just like, this is something.
They don't
that
slut shame. They don't do any.
We're here when you need advice.
Yeah.
It's almost like these parents were written.
They're like the most progressive parents in the world. And they're Yeah.
And their house is pretty damn big, so.
Rich.
Rich.
Rich. Oh, yeah.
They
hashtag
ain't poor,
rich.
Let's say
they
that.
They ain't poor.
They ain't poor.
they ain't poor. Are they Uncle Phil rich?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Are they throw people out, not get arrested rich because
really
you're a judge rich?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's our neighbor rich.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite.
Holy shit. Okay, so we've got two progressive, loving, accepting,
all the
matchups
fun, came out really well.
Like, you've got these two, but it's just between, like, the two of you have pulled from a guy who wants to make out with his wife in a cemetery.
Yeah.
Oh, mon cheri.
Yeah.
Right? And Raul Julia. I mean, come on. Besides M. Bison, best role ever. No,
should have been Louis J. Gomez.
I mean, but he's also a good one, too. Like, I didn't watch Wednesday a lot. Shauna did. She said he was. Like,
it was great.
You get to have a lot of fun with that character, but the cornerstone.
Sorry,
of that,
I mean Louis Guzman.
Yeah, I know you did. Not Luigi J. Guzman.
Luigi.
That's Luigi's alter ego in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Both of them do things for their children that you don't notice on the nose because they're weird or it's like this doesn't.
It's not conventional.
It's not conventional.
But the love is like it's there.
Monstrous.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you two.
I think Gomez is
Gomez.
Just.
Gomez.
I think he
Gomez.
Hits that extra.
He's
like
got
there's
the
accepting
extra.
And Gomez is just even past that.
Do you want to go walk on hot coals? I'm right behind you.
As progressive
you,
as it gets.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to chop off Pugsley's head Wednesday?
Let's go.
I'll buy you the
here's
guillotine.
Here's the gun.
Yeah, here's
and
the gun.
And he literally speaks in passion. Like that's. Gomez just
yeah,
speaks
he speaks
in
like
all
the
time.
Best thing I've ever
everything,
seen.
Everything, yeah, like he's performing.
He speaks
like
an
yeah.
Italian opera.
Put the knife in my back with vengeance. Like he just always is. He's amazing.
Fester,
yeah,
my
yeah,
brother.
Yeah,
come Fester. And gives it like just a big hug. And
one of my favorites is when the psychiatrist is like, "There's something in your life that's like toxic and it's tearing at you. And he's like, Pugsley.
Oh, may he rest in peace. All right. There it is, listener. And Dan, way to go, buddy. I mean, you know the secret behind the show.
Yeah.
So fuck you for picking low-hanging fruit.
You knew, Gomez.
Well done, sir, though. Doug, next time, please, listener, this is the part of the show. We want you to pick stuff, and we want to talk about you. You can send us who you are. You can tell us a little bit about yourself. This is where we get to pull it. And you know, we don't want to know you, but we want to play this to get to know you.
Yeah.
So if we don't know you, come let us talk about you. And
enter into the contest to spend a day with the debaters.
Yeah, what?
It's going to be Martin.
Yeah.
In the tub. Yeah. In the tub. With Raul Julia narrating.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Caress the Martin. Don't put the knife in his back. I can't. I'm fucking up. Okay. So thank you so much for listening to another episode. Tell us, like Jimmy says, send in a voicemail.
Got a good dad?
Got a good dad. We want to talk about it, and we'll bring it on the show the next time. So the voicemail line is in the link in our
bio.
We
didn't even talk about Kevin Costner's dad.
What should we be debating about?
Yeah.
What debates do you want to hear?
Yeah. This is where you get to be like a producer and shit. And if you donate, then you get even more control. You can
structure an episode.
Yeah, you stick your hand up.
Fun.
And by that I mean you stick your hand up Charles's ass in the room, and you just make him
puppet.
You just puppet him.
Full on puppet.
Yeah, it's
it ain't easy being white.
So this is your first time. Thank you for listening all the way through.
My name is Judd.
Oh, fuck these two idiots. If you've always listened to the show, thank you so much as well. That means a lot to us. If you haven't subscribed yet, like, follow, subscribe. Smash whatever button's in your fucking podcast player. And if this entertained you, then we'll keep doing it. Let me, Robbie Williams, entertain you. That's the easiest way to do it. Then follow us on our social media. The best two are Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Twitter, not so much. Just too much. Fucking Elon. But Instagram, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, Real Debaters Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook, and at RD Podcast Shorts to see our faces. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
I've been Mando.
I've been Red, dumbass.
You should be Dick. You're Dick.
Tommy.
My name is Judge.
My name is Judge.
Watch all the movies, kids. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies.